15% or more on car insurance.
Can't stand George W. Bush. Do Bush-Cheney bumper stickers make you cringe? At All American Vogue, we carry a large selection of anti-Bush magnets, T-shirts, buttons, bumper stickers, dartboards, and a whole lot more. We have great gifts for the politically conscious and unconscious. Come support All American Vogue so that we can continue to support Progressive Talk AM 760. Come see us at 10 South Broadway, one block south of First Avenue at Ellsworth, or call 7 days a week, 303-733-4140.
J. Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Randy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk, KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. A third day of tough confirmation questions for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito begins an hour from now. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnetto in Washington.
Democrats aren't getting answers they want from Alito.
Judge Alito has not answered a whole lot of questions.
So New York's Charles Schumer and his colleagues will try again today. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin told the nominee,
"You could be the deciding vote that would eliminate the legality of abortion."
He pressed, "Is Roe v. Wade settled law?" As Chief Justice John Roberts once said, Alito wouldn't go that far. Seven current and retired judges who've worked with Alito are among the outside witnesses coming to testify. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
There's breaking news from Mecca, Saudi Arabia, where officials say a stampede by Muslim pilgrims has left an unknown number of people dead. One report says at least 50 were crushed during a ritual stoning of the devil. The man who shot Pope John Paul II walked out of a Turkish prison a few hours ago after serving 25 years behind bars. Reporter David O'Byrne in Istanbul says Mehmet Ali Aga's supporters were on hand to cheer, but many of his fellow Turks consider Aga a national embarrassment.
I think the majority of Turkish people see him as something of a throwback, almost an embarrassing reminder of a period in Turkish politics in the 1970s when things were far different to they are now.
To this day, Aga has never said why he wanted to kill the Pope. Big trouble at 30,000 feet. The FBI says a Bulgarian woman went wild on a flight from Eugene, Oregon to Denver. Passenger Sean McEwen saw what happened.
I guess she jumped on one of the, or like started pulling at one of the girls sitting next to her. I ripped her headphones out, and then a flight attendant went to get her, and then they sat the lady down and tried to calm her down.
And the woman said she had a bomb. But the FBI checked the plane in Salt Lake City and didn't find anything suspicious. A study in the British journal Nature blames global warming and the fungus for wiping out colorful harlequin frogs in Central and South America. CBS's Vicky Barker has that from London.
Ecologist Chris Thomas says the article's message is chilling.
What it does is to show that at least a number of these extinctions, and perhaps rather a lot of them, might happen rather faster than we had thought.
If the clock is ticking faster than previously calculated, he says, that could have huge implications for other species and habitats, including some that support human life. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
It's a gripping account of one man's struggle with addiction, a true story. But author James Fry has been forced to admit that his memoir, A Million Little Pieces, has some pieces that were embellished. Fry defended himself on Larry King Live.
The book is 432 pages long. The total page count of disputed events is 18, which is less than 5% of the total book.
A Million Little Pieces was the biggest selling nonfiction work of 2005. Ahead of the bell, S&P futures are down 2.5. This is CBS News.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacore. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacore and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Abacore really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Abacore works. An Abacore Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Abacore free with your order. Call 1-800-204-6810. That's 1-800-204-6810. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-204-6810. That's 1-800-204-6810.
Rocky Mountain Cyberknife. Visit RockyMountainCyberKnifeCK.com.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Oh, off to a good start this morning. The Turnpike and 225, both trouble-free. I-70, I-25, 6th Avenue, all checking clear. And we're pushing top speeds on C-470 as you make your way through Highlands Ranch. Now around town, things still pretty quiet on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93. That fire just west of Rocky Flats, that has been contained. All roads in the area have been reopened. Now checking the forecast, going to be a little cooler today. Highs only in the 40s, not much warmer than it is right now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Are you looking for a change but not sure what? Find all the inspiration and innovation you need for your home improvement projects at your new Home Depot. Now open in Boulder off of Arapahoe next to Scott Carpenter Park. The new Home Depot is now open in Boulder.
The Al Franken Show.
There are a lot of dangerous jobs out there, and I've never had one of them.
Things you won't get anywhere else.
When I was at NBC at Saturday Night Live, the number one cause of injury at NBC were people falling out of their chairs.
And advice you can use.
If you're listening to the show and in your office, don't lean back too far.
Al Franken, 10 to 1.
Just be careful.
On AM 760, Progressive Talk.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Jewish Committee. I'm Charles Osgood. With the Alito Supreme Court nomination, after this for the American Jewish Committee.
The following is a paid announcement.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon lies in a Jerusalem hospital fighting for his life. The prayers of well-wishers around the world are with him. When first elected in 2001, he faced rampant Palestinian terrorism. No place, not even a Passover Seder, was off limits. Rather than succumb to despair, he fought back. His government showed the world how to face terrorism with courage and smarts. Moreover, Sharon realized that Israel couldn't continue to be hostage to the repeated Palestinian failure to make peace. He took matters into his own hands. He boldly disengaged from Gaza. In doing so, he gave the Palestinians their first chance in history to govern themselves. Tragically, early signs aren't promising. When Sharon suffered his stroke last week, Israel's maturity as a democratic nation was again revealed. There was a smooth transfer of power, a unique feat by Middle East standards. To learn more, visit AJC.org. This is David Harris of the American Jewish Committee.
Back in September, when now Chief Justice John Roberts was testifying at his confirmation hearing, he was asked whether Roe versus Wade was settled law, and he said,
"It's settled as a precedent of the court."
And yesterday, Judge Samuel Alito was asked about it by Senator Richard Durbin, Democrat of Illinois.
Is it the settled law of the land?
It is a precedent that has now been on the books for several decades. It has been challenged. It has been reaffirmed. But it is an issue that is involved in litigation now at all levels.
He had to say that, says Jan Crawford Greenberg of the Chicago Tribune.
He declined to answer because those cases could come before him if he is confirmed.
Alito said he would keep an open mind in such cases. That wasn't good enough for Senator Durbin.
It evidences a mind that sadly is closed in some areas.
Of course, people would like to know how a justice would decide certain things, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
But the Constitution neither requires it nor permits it. Nominees have to keep to themselves their true positions about a number of vital issues, and they always have.
Will committee Democrats now do some foot-dragging? Senator Charles Schumer.
This is a lifetime appointment to a very important job that has power over every one of us. We're not going to rush this through, plain and simple.
So, bottom line, will the committee recommend Alito for confirmation? Gloria Borger.
I think right now we see a party line vote, 10-8, with the Republicans in the majority. And I think the only question right now is whether the Democrats will filibuster him, whether they can get enough moderate Republicans to join them in that fight. Right now, that doesn't look likely.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The Osgood File, January 12th, 2006.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 6, AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin here. High 47 today with intermittent clouds. So it's not going to be as warm as it was yesterday, but still, I'll live with 47. How about you? Nice to have you along this morning at 6:09, 9 minutes after 6. You know what? I don't even know where to start this morning. And the reason I say I don't know where to start this morning, and I say this every morning, is there's so much to cover, and there's so little time to get into it all. And then, you know, sometimes in the afternoon, I'll be driving around, and I'll listen to, like, Ed Schultz, who's here 1 to 4, or Randy Rhodes, who's here 4 to 8. But I primarily listen to Ed, and I'll hear Ed covering issues, and I'll think to myself, or he'll mention them or talk about them, and I'll think to myself, man, I had that, but I just didn't have time to get to it. And I always think to myself, okay, you know what, next time that comes down the pike, I'm going to get to it immediately, but there's always all kinds of things to do. So you don't always get to everything that you want to get to. Let me just read one story that is just, you probably heard this, but I just got to bring it up. I just have to bring it up. Israel has a suspended contact with evangelist Pat Robertson for suggesting Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine punishment for withdrawing from the Gaza Strip. The controversy cast doubt on plans for a Christian tourism center that would showcase the growing flow of money and influence from U.S. church groups. The decision announced Wednesday by Israeli officials does not affect other Christian groups that also consider it their spiritual duty to support Israel as fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Israeli leaders see the Christian allies as tireless lobbyists in Washington and elsewhere. The evangelicals also funnel millions of dollars each year to Jewish settlers in the West Bank and before last year's pullout the Gaza Strip. Tourism Minister Abraham Hirshon said he gave instructions to stop all contact with groups associated with Robertson. Last week, Robertson implied Sharon's massive stroke was a blow for dividing God's land with withdrawing from Gaza and four West Bank settlements. But Hirshon said that the order did not apply to all evangelical communities, God forbid. Robertson is leading a group of evangelicals who have pledged to raise $50 million to build a Christian Heritage Center in Israel's northern Galilee region, where tradition says Jesus lived and taught, or lived and taught. Under the tentative agreement, Robertson's group was to put up the funding while Israel would provide land and infrastructure. Hirshon had predicted it would draw up to 1 million pilgrims a year, generate $1.5 billion in spending, and support about 40,000 jobs. But the fate of the project is now in question, said a spokesman for the tourist industry. We do not do business with him, only with other evangelicals who don't back these comments. According to a spokesman for the tourist ministry, we will do business with other evangelical leaders, friends of Israel, but not him, referring to Pat Robertson. Robertson's people had no comment. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Pat Robertson gets his. All right, where to start this morning? You know, it's bad. When you're on in the morning, when you're on 6 to 10 in the morning, one of the first things they teach you in radio is you can't get on the air and be angry. Now, every once in a while, I'll lose my temper with somebody. But, you know, you got to be cheerful. You got to be upbeat. And you got to inspire people to pull themselves out of bed when they normally don't want to do it. And none of us do. And you got to inspire them to want to get up and do whatever it is they're going to do, whether it's take care of the kids or go to work or whatever you have on your agenda. So you don't want to start by ranting and raving and shouting and carrying on. But I'm not sure what I'm more mad about. The whole Alito situation yesterday with the crocodile tears from Sammy's wife, Martha Ann. The Lindsey Graham comment. Lindsey Graham just dripping sugar all over Alito. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal article about Lindsey Graham helping to prompt Alito in the moot court sessions at the White House, which to me would be a conflict of interest, because then how could Lindsey Graham go before the Senate Judiciary Committee and the American people and claim that he has some kind of open mind when he's over here helping this guy? So to me, that'd be like a conflict of interest. And nobody has said anything about that. The media basically has let that pass. As far as I know, the Wall Street Journal has brought it up, and we've brought it up here. But nobody else has brought this up. And the whole thing about CAP, Concern Alumni's concerned alumni at Princeton. And Alito claiming that first, well, he didn't remember joining, then saying that he joined because of their support for the ROTC, but the ROTC was already there. And there's just a whole litany of stuff to get into about Alito, and we will this morning. But the other thing, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday morning, and it's getting shoved off the pages, but it's important. George W. Bush, and I'm really angry about this. George W. Bush goes out yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky, in front of another hand-picked, hand-screened audience, so that there's nobody there that could raise any opposition, and starts talking about the NSA wiretap situation and talks about Iraq. And if you listened or saw any of that, and the network showed just a little bit of it, if you saw any of it, the questions were so softball. The audience was sucking up to this guy so bad. And you know something? This is what his whole presidency is about. From one photo op to the next photo op, to one living in one unrealistic world to the next unrealistic world, he doesn't face normal everyday Americans. He would not get into a situation where you or I would be able to ask him a question because he wouldn't want to have to respond to what we would say. So he goes in front of these hand-picked audiences, and he basically sits there, hems and haws, and does his little thing about rotating his jaw and going, and pausing back and forth. And he does it in front of people who are not going to stand up and they're not going to give him any grief. In fact, at one point, a 7-year-old boy asked the president, "How can people help on the war on terror?" Bush responded by saying he expects and welcomes an honest debate about Iraq, but he dislikes assertions that he believes veer into reckless accusations, such as when critics say policymakers lied, or that we're in there for the oil in Iraq, or for the sake of Israel. That kind of debate basically says the mission and the sacrifice was based on a false premise. You want to know something? It was. It was based on a false premise. I mean, is there anybody out there who doesn't believe it was based on a false premise? George W. Bush also stood up yesterday and defended his National Security Agency's controversial warrantless eavesdropping program and the nearly 3-year mission to plant democracy in Iraq. This is his second speech in many days. You know why? Because the American public, and there's a new poll out, and I've got it in here somewhere, where the American public in increasing numbers now believes that Iraq cannot make it without American help, and that still majority of the American public believes that going into this war was not worth it. And I know what you may be saying, well, here's Jay on and on again about Iraq. It's like he is every morning. But you know what? I'm not going to let this go off the front pages. Here it is. Americans overwhelmingly lack confidence that Iraq will have a stable government in place within the next year. More than half say that the war has not been worth its cost. So, you know, this is why Bush is out on the stump like a campaign speech. Same message every single time, different audience, but he goes out there and gets a hand-picked audience. Because you know something? He can't face you and I. Because you and I give him hell and he can't take it. And this guy really is insulated. And he reminds me a lot of Lyndon Johnson, if you're old enough to remember Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, at the height of the Vietnam War, when he was under siege publicly, and there was a lot of turmoil in this country, Lyndon Johnson would only speak, for the most part, at military bases, because he felt safe there. It was very, very hard for him to get out into the public because there were so many people waiting to give him so much grief. All right, coming up this morning here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, President Bush was in Chicago touting the economy. We're going to find out what's going on with the economy and what seems to be the problem out there. We're going to talk to Left Business Observer Doug Henwood. Henwood's also a contributing editor to The Nation and hosts a weekly radio show on WBAI in New York. At 8 a.m., Professor Michael Greenberg joins us to talk about the Alito confirmation hearings in regard to how this nomination ties into the executive authority and domestic spying at 8:30. The nation's D.C. correspondent, John Nichols, our buddy, will be back to talk about the fireworks between Senator Spector and Ted Kennedy yesterday. And then we're going to catch up with senior fellow at 9 o'clock for Media Matters for America, Paul Waldman. I got a stack of stuff here, and I'm probably going to have to try to get two segments out of Paul because there's so much stuff out there, and a lot of it regarding the media's biased coverage of the whole Alito situation. All right, if you want to jump in on the Iraq thing, if you want to jump in on Alito, if you want to get an early start here during the hour of no power, 303-713-7600, and maybe I'm the lone left angry.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at Riptide Hosting.
Online advertising spending is expected to grow drastically in 2006 as more companies realize that internet advertising can be effective and affordable. Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how you can get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Give us a call and find out if internet advertising can make your business money. Call 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids isn't something he can buy. It's something priceless. Time. Studies show that kids with involved fathers are less likely to abuse drugs, commit crimes, get pregnant, get depressed, or fail academically. All it takes is time. A public service message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060 for free, helpful information. That's 312-795-9060.
Amber Homes has been building quality homes since 1998 with affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes in great areas like Inglewood, Southwest Denver, Aurora, Commerce City, Thornton, and Castle Rock. So stop throwing away money on rent and picture yourself in a new home from Amber Homes. Right now, check out Aspen Hills, a gorgeous townhome-style community conveniently located with easy access to both downtown Denver and DIA. Aspen Hills features both two- and three-bedroom floor plans. For more information, go to AmberHomes.com. Amber Homes, a higher standard.
Tickets include general admission. So, once again, you know, if you've got a charity, if you've got a youth group, and you want to go to the stock show, Rockies has got the tickets. Here's the number again. Ask for Sergio. Call 303-426-4646. Rockies Auto, 63rd and Federal. I keep telling you what great people they are. Concerned about the kind of automobile you buy, but also concerned about the community that they live and work in.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-600-4222. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-600-4222. 1-800-600-4222.
Top three reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number three, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number two, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number one, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate, and $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
Bacon, eggs, and Jay Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 6:23, 23 minutes after 6. High today, 47. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. 303-713-7600. Three lines open. It's the hour of no power here. Kind of sketching out the day's activities and kind of talking about what happened yesterday and talking about Alito, about Iraq. And you know what? I also have this poll, which I didn't give yesterday because I didn't have time, about eavesdropping, the whole NSA situation. And that ought to shock the hell out of you, too, where Americans are almost evenly divided about wiretapping. Half say warrants are unnecessary. Those Americans are growing, though Americans are growing more skeptical of the White House Record of Civil Liberties, the nation is divided over whether the Bush administration should use wiretaps without first obtaining a warrant, recent poll shows. A CNN USA Today Gallup poll of 1,003 adults found that 50% of those polled believe it is okay to forego warrants when ordering electronic surveillance of people suspected of having ties to terrorists abroad. Now, you know what? If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what would. That there's actually segments of the public out there who support the idea of running wiretaps without a court order? You know, the Bush plan of manipulating the public with fear must be paying off. Let's go to Jerry in Denver. Jerry, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, how are you?
I got something to say here, a little history.
Okay.
Go back to 1980. Reagan kicked off his southern presidential campaign, the southern part of it, in Pulaski, Tennessee.
Now, that was Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Oh.
It was Philadelphia, Mississippi, where Cheney, Schwerner, and I can't remember the other guy's name, died.
Then he went to Pulaski, the birthplace of the Klan. Now, this was to establish his bigotry with the rednecks. That wasn't lost on those Southerners.
Yeah, that was, you know what, I just thought of it. It was Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman were murdered in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Well, see, that strategy wasn't lost on the rednecks. Now, when Alito touts his membership in CAP, the guys that are reading his resume are the Reagan people, and that the strain of bigotry in CAP was meaningful to them. So that's what Alito was doing with his CAP application.
Well, did he join, you know, the big question here is, did he join CAP, A, to get a job in the Reagan administration? Did he join CAP because, as he would tell us, they supported bringing the ROTC back on the campus in Princeton, even though the ROTC was back? Or did he join CAP because he honestly supported those views about women and minorities and segregated dining rooms? I mean, did he support that? He now says that he disavows any of those statements of CAP, that he doesn't remember being a member of the organization.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes across with all of this, and, you know, it's plainly he's not answering the questions, and plainly he's not telling the truth.
Yeah, well, he didn't know, but that was 1972. He graduated in 72.
Well, you know something? Here's two things to focus in on. Number one, I don't know about you, but if I ever joined any organization, I certainly would have knowledge of it. I certainly would remember what my role in that organization would be. And then the other thing is, the Republicans do we have that Lindsey Graham cut? You know, the Republicans now are saying, oh, those evil Democrats, and they're so callous, and they're so divisive, and they're so unfair. And here's Lindsey Graham yesterday as Alito's wife starts to shed tears in the background. Let's hear that.
Are you really a closet bigot?
I'm not any kind of a bigot.
No, sir, you're not.
Well, then he goes into this long explanation about what a great guy Alito is. Well, you know, there's two things. I said beginning at the top of the half hour here, Lindsey Graham is caught in a conflict of interest in that he helped prep Alito for these hearings. And number two, do you think of any Democrat, do you think if this was a Democratic nominee, and that Democratic nominee had been a member of SDS in college, if that Democratic nominee had been a member of the Young Lords, the Black Panther Party, the Communist Party, the Socialist Revolutionary Workers Party, do you think that the Republicans would let that go? Do you think they'd let that pass for 5 seconds? No, they'd be all over them. But see, these people maintain a double standard. The Republicans maintain a double standard. When it comes to Samuel Alito and people like Ted Kennedy, people like Herb Kohl of Wisconsin, people like Patrick Leahy of Vermont, Russell Feingold of Wisconsin, Dianne Feinstein of California, you know, they want direct answers on this stuff. Alito doesn't want to give them, and the Republicans jump up, and the Republicans start screaming that, oh, the Democrats are being abusive, that they're smearing him. You know, no one is smearing him. And no one is suggesting that he's a bigot. And no one is suggesting that he's a racist. But it is fair game to ask him why he was involved with this CAP organization,
concerned alumni of Princeton, and the radical positions that they took in their magazine and in their newsletter. To me, that's fair game to ask those questions. And as I said, if this were a Democratic nominee, the Republicans wouldn't let this go at all. Furthermore, you know something? This guy points to one of his great heroes as being Robert Bork, who has the most narrow interpretation of the Constitution, was rejected by the Senate, is, a, in my opinion, just kind of a bitter man. But when he was asked about his feelings about Robert Bork, he dodged that too by saying, well, that's just one appointee looking at another appointee. Okay, look, you know what, Sammy? Either you dig Robert Bork and you like what Robert Bork stands for, or you don't like him. Or that was also, I mean, his other fallback is, well, I was just trying to get a job. But to me, it's evidence of extremism. It's evidence of extremism. You know, Bork's radical legal views, which include rejecting the Supreme Court's entire line of privacy cases, even in its 1965 ruling striking down a state law banning sales of contraceptives, Judge Alito's membership in Concerned Alumni of Princeton, a group whose offensive views about women, minorities, and AIDS victims was discussed in greater detail at yesterday's hearings, but it's deeply troubling. And you know what? What he had to say about not remembering, to me, is unconvincing. 303-713-7600. We'll take more of your calls coming up here. Low Power Hour on AM 760. Let's get a look at some progressive traffic.
Well, Jay, things looking real good on the highways this morning. I-25, so this is the usual slowing right around 84th Avenue. If you're headed southbound, stay slow to the turnpike, then opens up as you head into downtown and through T-Rex. I-70 in great shape between Wheat Ridge and Aurora. 225 also pushing top speeds and around town. Things picking up just a little bit on Foothills Parkway, the Dagger on Highway 93, Arapahoe, Broadway, and Baseline starting to fill in. And the turnpike looking good east and westbound through Bloomfield and Westminster. Now, checking out the forecast, going to be a little cooler day. Highs in the 40s, so not much warmer than we are right now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760, Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-508-7100. That's 1-800-508-7100. 1-800-508-7100.
Here's what satisfied customers are saying about the winter sale, now on at Men's Warehouse.
George, this is Tony Bonacorso, a satisfied customer. I walked into the store because you guys were having a sale. I bought a couple of suits, shirts, sports jackets. It was a wonderful sale. I think I really got a wonderful, wonderful buy. I saved over $1,100.
Hey, George. My husband, Don, said, let's go, let's go. He heard about the sale on the radio that you're having right now. So we went in, and we got more than we ever would have bargained for at any other store we could have ever gone to.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale, with savings of up to 50% on select styles, from corporate to casual.
The only way to beat a Men's Warehouse price is at the Men's Warehouse Winter Sale. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse.
The winter sale ends soon. 12 Denver area stores. To reach the Men's Warehouse nearest you, call 1-800-776-SUIT.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you might be taking risks with your family's biggest investment.
Homeowners, rates won't stay this low forever. Call the mortgage store today. Don't miss out on taking advantage of historic low rates.
The economy continues to improve.
And the Federal Reserve has begun to raise interest rates.
But right now, you can still lock in a low fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
The mortgage store is a direct lender, so you're guaranteed the best pricing and the best service. Here's what our customers had to say.
It was just so easy. I've never had a refinance so easy.
We close within
days and saved over $350 a month.
We approve our own loans, so even if you've had some credit problems, you can still call us today and get a great fixed-rate mortgage in the fives.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and be sure to ask about the 6 months with no payment option. Open evenings and weekends. Call now, 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Nice to have you along. It's 26:34, 26 minutes in front of 7. High today, 47. The Low Power Hour. Or do we call it the Low Power Hour? Well, regardless, we have no power this hour. 303-713-7600, no power till the sun comes up, so it's kind of anything goes this morning. But I've been on a two-prong track here, and we'll talk about it throughout the morning, about Judge Alito and about the hearings yesterday. And also, I guess I must be the only person who has I just get crazy about this, about George W. Bush going out giving these speeches about the NSA and about Iraq, and he appears before these hand-picked audiences. Do you think the majority of Americans are fooled by this? That there's no critical questioning going on? Man, oh man, oh man. I guess America buys this. Now, he's not doing very well in the polls. The polls haven't inched up very much. But even if you're a diehard supporter of George W. Bush, wouldn't you find that to be incredibly lame to go out in front of a hand-picked audience? Let's go to Steve in Boulder. Steve, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You sound a lot better.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing a little bit better, but now Mary's got it. So I hope we don't get into a situation where we're passing it back and forth between each other.
Oh, no. No, you'll both get over it.
I hope
this
so.
Time. Yeah. No, well, what else do you expect Bush to do? I mean, it's lame, but I think most Americans are just kind of, you know, letting it all kind of sink in and figuring it out very slowly. And, you know, I don't expect anything else of this president.
Well, do you think the majority of Americans, though, see through this? Do you think they see through this charade that he's operating where he, I mean, some of the questions yesterday were just, I mean, they bordered on French kissing the guy.
Well, I know, but I think most Americans are just numb and waiting. But I wanted to address the cap thing yesterday.
Sure.
I listened to the hearings all day, and I think that you were absolutely right on in saying that it indicates his extremist views. I mean, can you imagine anyone coming of age in that time period from the mid to late 60s into the early 70s not having an opinion about something and not really remembering it?
Yeah, I find that to be to lack credibility. And even if this wasn't a political organization we're talking about, wouldn't you think that people would know what organizations that they're members of and what they joined and why they joined? Or do you turn around and just say, well, I was, you know, that was 25, 30 years ago, and I don't remember.
No, especially in that social time period when everything was so emotionally charged, people really took sides. Now, in fairness to him, I don't think that he necessarily would have those same racist attitudes. I'm not suggesting that. But joining an organization like that and the Federalist Society shows that he chose sides with the extreme reactionary right. You know, and that's enough to me. You know, that is what that indicates, is that he chose sides on the reactionary right, and that's just where he is. And I think that the Democrats' best point on that is that he's out of the mainstream. That you know, and I don't think it's necessary to go into any kind of racist attacks, although those things are associated with the reactionary right. But just being there in that camp is enough.
I don't think they were going after racist attacks, though. I think what they were trying I think they were trying to get him to honestly come forward and explain why he was aligned with this organization, why he felt he needed to be a member, and what his current views are now about this, and the way he looks at things and the way he looks at law.
That's right, and you know, the Democrats really worked hard to not suggest that he is a racist, but rather to show that the group he was associated with was extremist. And it was the Republicans that were trying to suggest that they were calling him a racist.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I agree 100% on that. I really do. And Lindsey Graham ought to be ashamed of himself. He really should be ashamed of himself for that suck-up, that drooling, saliva-ridden, sugar-type thing that he gave him that caused Marthy Ann Alito to start crying. And here's a guy who's always talking about integrity, but you know what? He helped Alito prepare for these things, and that's wrong. And nobody in the mainstream news media, with the exception of the Wall Street Journal, has brought this point up. And Lindsey Graham should disqualify himself from voting.
That's true, and it'll be very interesting when the list comes in today of the people that coached him. That was a really good question to ask for a list of the people that coached him. I think that was right in their sights with that. I wanted to say one more thing about his wife crying. I think that the drama that's happening there is very real from a personal standpoint. And I don't question that she might get overwhelmed by the intensity of that. I'm not going to call those crocodile tears. It's just part of what really happens sometimes when people ratchet up the intensity. So, you know, I'd give her a break.
All right, well, maybe you're right about that. Hey, Steve, thanks, man. Have a great morning.
You too, thanks.
All right. Let's go to Ken in Evergreen. Ken, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Yeah, you raised a question a couple minutes ago about people and their civil liberties and whether or not they pay attention. I really don't think we do anymore. The general, you and I do, and among my circle of friends, people are concerned about it. But I see that most of us are pretty well sated with material goods. And, I mean, hey, I live in a pretty affluent area up here in Evergreen, and people are pretty happy in terms of their material well-being. And elites seem to keep you just afraid enough so that you feel compelled to trust them. You know, we're always being warned that, oh, the terrorists are right around the corner.
Yeah, well, we're always being manipulated by fear. You're right.
That's right. You know, and elites anymore, and whether that's governmental elites, corporate elites, academic elites, whatever, are about keeping us sated, purchasing, and afraid. And I think many people have fallen into that.
Well, there are some academics out there, though, that are doing good work. I mean, they're really doing good work and doing good investigative work. I mean, they're really not all academics are like that, but
there are. But I mean, that's where I work, and there has been such a change. And I'm in my late 40s. And to answer another question, I remember the exact month and year, although not the day that I joined the ACLU.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's been north of 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good example.
And I came of age in the 70s, Jay, and because of that, you can just imagine that I killed my fair share of brain cells.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I this idea Alito puts forward about how he doesn't remember. Yeah, right, sure.
You know, these guys, people, this is the kind of guy. Bill Clinton was the kind of guy. John Kerry was the kind of guy. These guys have been on the make. They're ambitious people. These guys don't make a move without thinking about it. And they were thinking about those moves in right after college, during college, and maybe sooner. So when they tell you that they don't remember, they're full of a scatological substance.
Yeah, but I don't think Kerry ever made a statement that he didn't remember an organization that he was a member of. I don't think Bill Clinton ever made that statement either.
Well, Bill Clinton had his problems with his draft. Tough and that.
Well, the problems. But let's be fair about this. The problems.
And he didn't remember that letter that he wrote to his draft board.
All right, but the problem.
I mean, that was a letter from a guy on the make.
The problem.
And I'm not.
Hold it a second. The problem with his draft board situation, though, other than that letter, was largely ginned up by the Republicans.
Oh, I agree. But I'm saying that people at this state of power, of public power, are on the make. These are people that start thinking about this at a young age. They don't make things that they don't join organizations that they forget.
Well, we would like to think they join organizations because they care. I mean, we'd like to think we'd like to think that you join the ACLU because you care. We'd like to think that, you know, people were involved in the anti-war movement or in the war on poverty or whatever, you know, whatever thing, whatever cause you want to pick, because they cared, because they deeply cared.
Hey, I got to go. My bus is here.
All right, man. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Off he goes on the bus. But, yeah, really, I mean, you would think that people join that because they really do care. I'm not that cynical about John Kerry, nor am I that cynical about Bill Clinton. And I think it is possible when you're a kid to get involved in this stuff and to remember why you did and to remember that you did. And now Alito's saying that that he doesn't remember or that he can't recall. To me, it's just disingenuous. This really is. 6:43, 17 minutes in front of 7. Two lines open, 303-713-7600. The non-power hour, J-Mark.
Looking for the best present you can buy? Then go to MileHighMarket.com and check out the iJoy robotic massage chair with 3D human touch technology that feels like strong hands kneading your neck, back, legs, and feet. This gift and many more available at MileHighMarket.com.
I-25 and 6th Avenue all looking real good, and we're pushing top speeds on C-470 through Highlands Ranch. Now around town, things a little quiet on Foyles Parkway, the Diagonal on Highway 93, Arapahoe, Broadway, and Bayside look good. And that fire just west of Rocky Flats, it has been contained, so all roads and highways in the area have reopened. Under the forecast, going to be cooler today in the 40s, so not much warmer than it is right now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
K&H Windows is the only window and siding company in Colorado personally endorsed by Tom Martino, and they'll help you save on your heating bills. Right now, when you buy one...
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. 1-800-900-5541. 1-800-900-5541. That's 1-800-900-5541.
Freedom Harley Davidson is Denver's premier Harley Davidson dealer. And right now, it's the huge Out With The Old inventory sale. See the selection of motor clothes, parts, and accessories all on sale. The event kicks off this Saturday, January 7th, with free food and drinks starting at noon. Get to Freedom Harley Davidson early for the best selection. The sale continues till the 14th or until it's all gone. Freedom Harley Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Just click the logo on your screen right now for more info. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318. Quality, value, design, innovation, customer satisfaction, strength. At Engel Homes, it's simply better. At Engel Homes, they understand that purchasing a home is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. That's why they make it their mission to make this experience the best it can be. From condominiums to townhomes to gorgeous single-family homes, Engel Homes has something perfect for you. Consider McKay Landing, Broomfield's community of choice. Nestled between McKay Lake and a golf course, McKay Landing offers a 16-acre central park area, including a rec center with a swimming pool, playing fields, tot lot and city park, daycare center, and elementary school. With townhome-style living from the upper 100s, single-family homes from the low 300s, and estate homes from the mid 400s, McKay Landing has something for everyone. Visit one of McKay Landing's 10 decorated models today. Would you like to find out more about Engel Homes? Pull up the media player and click on the banner, or visit EngelHomesColorado.com to find out more about McKay Landing. That's ENGLEHomesColorado.com.
3-4-2-3-7-1-7-1.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 6:47. 47 minutes before the hour. 13 minutes before the hour. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin with you. High at 47. Coming up after 7 o'clock, Doug Henwood, the State of the Economy to Bush Lie in Chicago, I believe it was on Monday. We'll talk to Doug Henwood about the economy. Then I'm going to ask you about the economy and what's going on with your spending habits and what you think's going on. And then we'll pick back up with the Alito nomination. We're talking about that right now. We're also talking about Iraq. We're talking about the NSA spying. I got three lines open at 303-713-7600, the non-power hour, and you're welcome to be involved. Let's go to David in Boulder. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. It's good to hear you again.
Thank you.
I'm just in from California, and I miss your show a lot. Last night, I was trying to tune in and hear some information about the legal hearings, and it's because I was working all day. And I tuned into your station. I guess they had the game going, so I moved around the dial trying to find something about it. It was just all right-wing propaganda.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Finally, I found NPR, and they just had some other stuff, but really didn't even talk about it. It's just amazing, you know, what a great job you guys are doing at speaking the truth and bringing, like, some reality to the news. So I just wanted
Thank
to say
you.
That.
You know, you're very kind.
I just wanted to point out, you guys touched on just that Alito not remembering his involvement in these organizations is such a crock, you know, because this guy is a brilliant lawyer, and, you know, he passed the bar. He remembers everything. And this guy doesn't forget anything, and I think they should harp on that, but why do we want to get somebody, a judge in there who's going to be lying, first of all? You know, just to get the job.
Well,
you know,
he bragged about being a member in his 1985 job application. Why did he brag about being a member if he now claims that he didn't remember, and then he switches over and says, well, it was because of the ROTC. I mean, what's the truth here?
You know, the truth is that he's going to get in there and just push through everything that Bush wants, and I think it's going to be a grave mistake to let him come into power. Because somebody like that's going to...
Unless the Democrats filibuster, he's going to get confirmed.
Yeah, I sure hope they do something.
I do, too. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Be safe out there on the road. Let's go to Joe in Denver. Joe, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning, Jimmy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. What about yourself?
No, not too bad. Hey, you know, I'm hoping you can help me with who did this questioning. I just heard one of the highlights on the radio, among the many highlights, and I thought this was really a low point for the Republicans. One of the Democrats was questioning Alito regarding his stand on abortion, and one of the Republicans comes in, jumps in, and talks about how this Democratic questioner had been pro-life for 28 years before he changed his mind.
Oh, that's Dick Durbin was the one doing the questioning. And the person who jumped in was Tom Colbert of Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I really thought that was pretty low of the Republicans to put a Democratic senator on the spot like that. You know, we're questioning Alito and where he's at. Where the Democrats stand isn't an issue. It's where Alito stands. And I really thought that was kind of low of the Republicans to do something like that.
Well, they do it consistently. You know what? Either they do that, or the other thing they do is the Democrats try to ask questions about Alito and about how he feels about certain things. They're trying to get a sense of his feelings about executive privilege, his feelings about privacy, and a whole range and a whole issue, range of issues. But when the Republicans, when it's their turn, they turn around and do what Mike DeWine of Ohio did on Tuesday, which is basically to engage in a monologue about how great Judge Alito is and not really, and maybe ask one question. I mean, they're cheerleaders. I mean, they're not interested in finding out what this guy's really all about.
Well, let's be honest. They already know what he's all about. So,
yeah, you're right.
And let's be honest, so do the Democrats. I mean, we all know what he's all about. Well, like I said, I thought that was pretty low that we're questioning him, and that when a Republican comes in and reminds a Democrat that he changed his mind, you know, trying to imply that perhaps Judge Alito could change his mind. And, you know, I just didn't like that, you know. I don't know if Alito were to change his mind, it doesn't matter in my opinion. We know where he stands, we know where he's been, and I don't think he's qualified. I just have a problem with people that, you know, with, you know, trying to say that a Republican can change his mind like that, because I don't think they can.
Well, you got to remember, though, you got to keep it in context. Remember who it comes from, Tom Colbert, who is he's a doctor, but he's radically, radically anti-choice for a woman, and he comes from Oklahoma. He's extremely radical. He's a freshman senator, the guy is... I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, what he did was it was a low blow, and if that's the only defense that he can, come up with, in the whole Alito situation, you're right. That's really, really, really sad. Joe, thank you, man.
Sure. You have a good day, Jay.
Hey, you too. Yeah, he's right. That's low. Colburn busting him like that and talking about Dick Durbin changing his mind. I mean, we don't even, you know, out of Alito, particularly with this concerned alumni of Princeton business, we don't even get an answer about him changing his mind. He gives convoluted answers on the question of being involved with this organization. How many of us have changed our minds? There's nothing wrong with changing your mind. There's nothing wrong with coming out and saying, I changed my mind. There's nothing wrong with that. We do it every day. But just be straightforward about it. That's, you know, that's the whole thing. Just say, hey, you know what? I thought that was right in 1985. I thought it was right when I joined them. Obviously, it wasn't right. Obviously, what they stand for is not what I believe today. And had I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do it. Because there's plenty of skeletons in everybody's closet, but Alito doesn't come across that way. Let's go to Danny in Denver. Danny, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Danny.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I agree, you know, on that. You know, to me, it's just an outright lie. And I have a problem with anybody who can't tell the truth. And to me, that basically, you know, kind of sheds, you know, lack of credibility on anything else that he says. And that's the same problem I have with George Bush. You know, when you lie, you lose me, man. And that's it. You know, whether I agree with you or not, when you start lying, then I have a real problem with you.
Well, Bush has told so many lies. Who can keep track of all of them? Who can count them all up?
Well,
this guy tells lies on a daily basis. I mean, he's out there talking about how, well, the NSA wiretaps were just a few select people who were calling the United States. Now you got this whistleblower, Tyson, or whatever his name is, who claims that it could be hundreds of thousands of people, and that they were also, this came across the news media last night, that they were also looking, intercepting mail and other communications from people who were having, you know, were in contact with people in foreign countries.
Well, I can't remember any organization that I was a part of that I don't remember being a part of it, I'll tell you that. And as far as the filibuster go, you know, I've always felt, even with Roberts, that at some point the Democrats are going to have to make a stand. And even if they lose it, I mean, even if you lose that battle, you know, you need to make a stand. And, you know, things change, and things will change. That's one thing I know. I've been living long enough to know that. And the Democrats will be in power again at some point, and then all this crap that Republicans have been doing because they don't care about anything but power is going to come back to haunt them.
Yeah, see, I agree, too. And, I sent a very, very, a woman who sent me a very dark email about this country. I said, you know, we've lived through some difficult political times in this country. Nothing was more difficult than the McCarthy era, which I know I harp a lot about on this radio station, but it's something that people really ought to read about and look into. Thousands of people's lives were destroyed. Their basic freedom of assembly and being able to discuss ideas was trampled upon. But you know what? We emerged out of that a stronger country. We emerged out of that a greater and a better country. And that's what you got to keep your eye on.
Yeah.
We got to keep your eye on the fact that we've been through a lot, and we'll get through this, even as painful as it is, and that these out-of-control right-wing ideologues are not going to destroy the country that we know. We're going to go through some difficult times, but we're going to bounce back, and maybe with a little bit of hope, okay, with a little bit of luck, a lot of work from everybody, whether it's campaigning for a candidate in your district or, you know, just giving $25,
right. We
may be able to get a hold of the House of Representatives. We might be able to get a hold of the Senate. And if we can get a hold of either body, we can at least start to turn things around. Danny, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. And we can. And I reject totally this whole idea that we're totally and completely doomed, because I don't believe we are. I really don't believe that we are. And I believe that the big momentum is on our side. Because people are starting to find out what this administration is about. They're starting to find out what this Congress is about, thanks to Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay. I mean, Howard Dean's comments yesterday about this being a totally Republican scandal. Read the Talk of the Town and the New Yorker, same thing. Hey, we're on the rebound. We're going to talk about the economy coming up next.
I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-220-1320. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-220-1320. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-220-1320. 1-800-220-1320.
GAP provides developmentally disabled adults the help and resources to lead a fulfilling life and make a meaningful contribution to the community. GAP needs your help with funding for various equipment, vans, and daily activities. Please call to make a donation. 303-989-9830.
The Majority Report and Mike Malloy, your progressive station. KKZN, Fortin, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani.
Opponents are very desperate. Keeping trying to sack you and aren't doing a very good job of it.
Words of encouragement from Iowa Republican Charles Grassley. Minutes from now, Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee will get one more chance to question Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnetto on Capitol Hill.
Martha! Martha!
Chance of encouragement here as Alito's wife Martha Ann arrived. She left his hearing room in tears at one point yesterday during edgy questioning. Democrats demanded an extra round of Q&A after complaining the nominee isn't really spelling out his views. Outside witnesses should start testifying today. They include seven federal judges who've worked with Alito. Live on Capitol Hill, Barry Bagnetto, CBS News.
It's happened again, a stampede by Muslim pilgrims during a ritual stoning of the devil at the Hajj near Mecca, Saudi Arabia. One report says at least 57 people were crushed to death. Sky News reporter Mehdi Hassan blames poor crowd control.
There's such a huge crowd, and you don't see enough policemen or enough members of the authorities perhaps providing guidance, providing routes through the crowd.
Stampede at the Hajj in 1990 claimed well over 1,000 lives. Turkish nationalists celebrated with cheers today when Mehmet Ali Agca walked out of prison in Istanbul. Agca spent a quarter of a century behind bars for shooting Pope John Paul II. Another big city school system may give Big Brother a seat in the lunchroom. CBS's Dan Revive's here with that.
Houston School Board may decide today, like Dallas and other schools nationwide, to go high-tech and cashless in the cafeteria. If a kid's parents go on the internet, they can deposit money into a lunch and snack account. They can monitor what the kids are buying, even putting in a code to stop the checkout personnel from letting that student buy junk food. Houston also wants a clear record of state-mandated free meals for poor students. A record-keeping violation led to a $220,000 penalty. Frank?
President Bush could run into some very unhappy New Orleanians when he visits the city in a few hours. WWL's Dave Cohn has that.
Demonstrators are wearing life jackets in New Orleans today to protest the fact that the White House has yet to approve Category 5 hurricane protection for New Orleans. Others are just angry and upset with the continued slow and cumbersome federal response.
I am a working person. I pay federal taxes. FEMA comes out of my paycheck.
Help us cut the red tape. Give us that opportunity to help ourselves.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
The best-selling author of A Million Little Pieces admits his powerful memoir about a struggle with substance abuse was, in his words, embellished. James Fry tells Larry King Live he can't understand why some critics are making a big issue of that.
It has blown my mind, and to a certain extent, it surprised me. A very, very small portion of the book is being disputed.
Just ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are 2 points lower. This is CBS News.
Business is starting to pick up. That's good, but your accounting staff is stretched to the limits. Not so good. If you're thinking about hiring, it's time for AccountTemps. We have the most highly skilled accounting and financial professionals in the business. Hire an AccountTemps professional today on a temporary basis, and you can keep the work flowing. And once you see just how qualified our professionals really are, you may want to consider converting them to full-time employment at a later date. Call AccountTemps today at one of our 325 offices or visit us at AccountTemps.com.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Well, we are seeing some trouble on the drive right now. Have a crash working westbound I-76 just before Federal and eastbound I-270. Not the place you want to be this morning. Probably jammed back to the turnpike. That's because of this three-car crash. 10 in the left lane approaching York. Now, southbound I-25, also seeing a busy ride from 104th right into downtown. Have a wreck in the left lane near 20th, adding to those jams. And northbounders also seeing some trouble with an accident also in the left lane. This one's sitting just past Hampton. Now, around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93. South Boulder Road, Belmont, and Broadway are loaded up, and the Turnpike. Sluggish eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. On to the forecast.
A deadly infectious disease called meningococcal meningitis killed my daughter. Parents in Denver need to know it may be prevented through vaccination. My child did not have to die. Ask your doctor about immunization.
A message from the National Meningitis Association.
Your new Home Depot, now open in Boulder off of Arapahoe next to Scott Carpenter Park. The new Home Depot is now open in Boulder.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Folks, when you think tires, think Aspen Goodyear. 303-771-9800. Full service facilities. We run the automotive troubleshooter show for Tom Martino. 303-771-9800. My name's Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
It's funny. A lot of people switch to Geico because of savings. But you never know how good a car insurance company really is until you file a claim. That's why people stay with Geico.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:05, 5 minutes after 7. High today, 47, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. George W. Bush was in Chicago. I believe he was there on Monday, counting how great the economy is. But you know, when I talk to people, they have a different take on it. And we're going to talk right now to a guy who puts out an excellent newsletter, Left Business Observer. His name is Doug Henwood. He is also a contributing editor to The Nation and hosts a weekly radio show on WBAI in New York. And let's say hello to Doug. Doug, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It's good to have you on.
It's good to be on.
All right. Bush was up in Chicago, I believe it was on Monday. He's touting about the strength of the economy. But, you know, I talk to people, and they tell a much different tune, even though the stock market reaches a record high. But people out there seem to be reluctant to spend money. They seem to be insecure. What in the world is going on, truly?
Well, I think you're onto something there. I think a lot of the headline numbers, like GDP growth and things like that, that economists and pundits like to look at are looking pretty good. But the job market is performing rather poorly, especially for people at the middle and lower end of the economic spectrum. And you know, even the growth numbers are not all that great. This is the second slowest expansion, just measured in growth terms, since the end of World War II. But what's really, really unusual is that there's been a breakdown in the relation between economic growth and job growth. The economy looks to be doing fine, but I think it's a Brazilian president of the 1960s said the economy is doing fine, but the people aren't, and I think you can apply a bit of that to the United States right now.
Also, these job figures that come out from time to time, I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. I question these jobs. I question the quality of these jobs and how much they pay, and are average Americans, say, making $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 less than they were, say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Well, no, they're not making that much less, but there's just been an erosion in the value of the real wage. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. We had a burst of energy price increases. Wages did not keep up with that. In a lot of ways, this is reminiscent of the economy of the 1980s, the Reagan years, in which you had good-looking headline numbers, but just didn't feel good to everyone else. It was a boom in the stock market. It was a boom for upper-income people. But for the average worker or for people below average, it was it was pretty bad times, and I think we're seeing that again. You can see this in polling data. The Republicans, the administration, their pundits on Fox are constantly wondering why the public just doesn't understand how good the economy is. It's kind of like the whole Iraq story they're trying to tell. You know, things are really much better than they're being reported. Everything's much better than people think. But no, people, you can lie to people about foreign policy, but you can't lie to them about what's going on with their jobs and their pocketbooks. And we've got a bad case of that right now. It's not just a matter of telling a better story, as the president and his apologists want to tell you. It's really the economy is, for most people, it's not doing well. I think we really haven't gotten over the hangover of the bursting of the 1990s bubble. And we've also since had gotten a new bubble in the housing market, which now seems to be slowing down. But it's as if when the stock market fell apart, the speculative baton was handed to the housing market. That provided some juice to the economy for now, but that looks to be running out of steam, too. So I think there's some really serious fundamental problems with the economy that the administration is not interested in or is not capable of addressing, and our political system isn't really capable of talking about very maturely either.
7:09, 9 minutes after 7 a.m., 760 Progressive Talk. Doug Henwood on the line with us. He is the publisher and editor of Left Business Observer. I think I read somewhere or heard it a couple of days ago that when you're talking about the housing market, that mortgage applications have slowed down to an all-time low. Is that true?
Well, they've not down to an all-time low, but they have certainly slowed down. But really, what really compensated for the kind of weak job and income growth I was talking about a little while ago, what really compensated for that in economic terms is that people have been borrowing immense amounts of money against the appreciated value of their houses, so-called home equity withdrawal. You know, people refinance, they take out big cash advances as well. $2 trillion by Goldman Sachs' estimate over the last 4 or 5 years. That has kept the economy humming along, and that trend seems to be slowing down because as the housing market's showing early signs of cooling down. So that prop to economic growth is now being kicked away. So it's going to be hard to see what's going to carry the economy forward in 2006. It's not on the verge of collapse, but it's certainly not not thriving either.
Yeah, you bring up another point that I want to talk about here is debt. It seems like everybody has second mortgages. It seems like everybody owes to credit cards. How is that hurting the economy that people are carrying such a heavy weight of debt?
Well, it doesn't hurt the economy on the way up. When people are borrowing money, it feels pretty good, or at least doesn't feel as bad as it might. It kind of disguises the underlying problems of weak job and income growth. The problem is when the borrowing stops, and there's early signs that's kicking in now. We saw this in the early 80s, and again in the early 90s, we had long periods of either deep recession in the first case or a very long period of a very weak, flat economy in the second case. So I think that's the thing to be concerned about, what happens when all the debt comes due, when people stop, they take a look at their how much money they owe, and they get nervous, and they pull back, and that could cause economic problems as well. You know, we have the consumption, the consumer side of the economy never really had a recession in the early 2000s. The corporate side had a recession, the stock market had a recession, but people, thanks to all that home equity borrowing and credit card borrowing, just kept chugging along. The savings rate went negative, and I think these are really, really serious long-term problems. And this kind of also applies to the country as a whole. We've been borrowing tremendous amounts of money abroad to finance our import bill. The United States is now deep in debt, about $2 trillion in hock to the outside world. And like I said, it feels pretty good while the expansion is going on, but when it all comes to a halt and you look at all this accumulated debt that's been left behind, you could have a big serious problem in your hands, and that's one of the possibilities for 2006, is that a lot of the problems, which have been real long-term problems that have been any kind of reckoning of them has been forestalled, well, that may all, you know, come home to roost in 2006.
Yeah, my next question would be, what happens when all this debt is called in?
Well, it's a whole array of things. You could have, the happy soft landing scenario would be that you just have slower growth and people throttle back and get a little more prudent, and it feels, not so great, but not so terrible. The other extreme would be some kind of really serious adjustment, which would mean a deep recession and lots and lots of pain to go around. I don't think we're going to see anything like a rerun of the 1930s, but some slow motion version of that stretched out over many years.
Sorry, how bad will it get?
Well, you know, the model I've been thinking of is what happened in Japan in the 1990s. The Japanese economy didn't fall apart, but it also was stagnant and didn't grow for the whole decade or beyond. And that was because they had a bubble in the 80s that fell apart, and it took more than 10 years for the Japanese economy to recover. It's finally showing signs of recovering now for real, but it's been a very long wait. I think something like that is quite possible for the U.S. It's interesting now that the big three economy zones in the world, the Asian economy and the European and the U.S., we're looking, after being the top dog for all these years, we're looking like the weaker of the three now. So it could be that all that 2 decades after which the United States thought it was king of the hill because of sort of Reagan and Bushite policies, we'd solve the economic problem forever. This was just, you know, the pure market utopia that had been achieved on Earth in the United States. Maybe fortunes are about to turn, and our day in the sun is over, and the other parts of the world are really going to pick up the slack. You know, the whole world economy has been dependent upon the aggressive and athletic levels of consumption that American consumers have been able to take on through high levels of debt. That stimulated particularly the Asian economies, which have been exporting to fill our shelves. The rest of the world may have to get along without that kind of American overconsumption as all the bills come due here.
You know, the other thing is you see stories like GM saying it's in financial crisis, Ford saying it can't make it. You know, when we were growing up, I mean, these were the monsters of American industry. I mean, what's going on there? I mean, obviously with GM, they say that it's health insurance. They say that it's the deals that they have signed with the unions about pensions. But there's got to be more going on there than just that.
Well, I think the management of GM in particular has been very, very poor. A lot of people just don't like their cars very much, and they have a harder time selling them. They've been losing market share. The Japanese manufacturers do business in the U.S. They're doing okay. So it's not just it's not a problem necessarily of manufacturing cars in the United States or in North America and in Canada as well. It's that GM is not doing a very good job of it. But the healthcare issue is very, very serious. The companies that do compete in international markets have very much higher costs because of the healthcare bill that they have to pay in the United States. You know, compare the U.S. and Canada, very similar wage structures, very similar in many, many ways, and in many other ways as well. But I think the additional cost is, $1,500 to $2,000 a vehicle because of the healthcare costs here. And it's very interesting that even though a national healthcare system, which would be a reasonable thing to do by just on issues of justice and fairness, would also improve the competitiveness of American manufacturers. But for ideological reasons or whatever, they refuse to endorse this. But this is a case where the right thing to do would also really help out a lot of American businesses and reduce their costs and make it more likely they're hiring. And one of the reasons that hiring has been so weak in this expansion is precisely because of this cost of health benefits. Employers have been very, very reluctant to hire new permanent workers, and the health issue is a very large part of that reluctance.
And what do we spend, 16% now of the economy on health care?
Yeah, there's some headlines the other day because, in 2005 we saw the slowest health inflation in years. Health care cost increases rose by about 8% last year, which is, of course, twice the rate of economic growth, twice the rate of inflation. And this is supposed to be good news that we're only rising 8% instead of 10 or 12 that had in the earlier years. The thing is insane. We spend far more on health care in this country than anyone else does. No matter how you measure it, and our outcomes are worse. We have more sick people, shorter life expectancies, more people. In most other countries, nobody is uninsured. Most other rich countries, nobody is uninsured. Here we have 45 or 50 million people who are uninsured. So it's a disaster no matter how you slice it, no matter what perspective you look at it from. But we're politically paralyzed in talking about it or doing anything serious about it. I see the president is going to come up with some health care initiatives this year. It's going to be the centerpiece of his program. And what is it, a couple of tax breaks?
Yeah.
And better information so that we can be better shoppers. This is really stupid. It's just not going to do anything for this absolute crisis.
Do you believe his administration and do you believe they're economically stupid?
Yes, I think the quality of economic appointments in the Bush administration has been second and third rate. It's just not something they take very seriously, either domestically or internationally. They've been so busy trying to intervene everywhere and run the world and spy on everyone that they've paid no attention to economic realities, and that, you know, it's pretty dangerous. If you're trying to run this extremely aggressive imperial foreign policy on somebody else's dime, it doesn't really make much sense that they have to get this. We're essentially being financed by the Chinese Central Bank right now, and it's kind of funny that they're talking about this aggressive nationalist foreign policy and pay so little attention to the weak economic underpinnings for it.
Doug, thank you so much for your time this morning. I also want to point out that your wife, Liza Featherstone, who was on this show, has a great book out about Walmart called The High Cost of Low Price. So thank you to you. Tell your wife, Liza, hello. And by the way, plug your website.
LeftBusinessObserver.com is the place to be.
Yeah, and it's an excellent newsletter that you put out. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate
your
time this morning.
All right,
there's Doug Henwood, the Left Business Observer. Fabulous, fascinating publication. Now you know what I want to do? What I want to do is I want to ask you about the economy. I want to ask you about your spending habits. I want to ask you about how you view the economy. And if you're optimistic, if you're not very optimistic, you don't have to tell me precisely how much debt you carry, but I'd like to know. Do you have a second on your house? Why is it that Bush claims that the economy is so robust, yet a lot of people I talk to on the consumer level, they're watching their nickels and dimes? 303-713-7600, four lines open. Let's talk about the economy here along the Front Range and what's going on with you personally.
Are you worried about your cholesterol or blood pressure? What about your joints? With all the news lately, what should you do? Well, have you considered omega-3 fish oil? Millions already have because it's safe, natural, and it really works. Fish oil is proven to support healthy triglycerides and blood pressure. And now new research reveals powerful benefits for joints, wrinkled skin, even focus and concentration. If this sounds like you, we can help. We want to rush you a free bottle of Purity's Advanced Omega-3. Simply call 1-800-771-7544 and ask for your free bottle. We know that once you experience our Omega-3, you'll become a loyal fish oil customer. With three times the power of ordinary fish oil capsules, our Omega-3 delivers better and faster results. It's doctor-recommended, purified, and mercury-free. So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-771-7544 for your free bottle and experience the miracle of fish oil. That's 1-800-771-7544.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids is something priceless. Time. A message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060. That's 312-795-9060.
Get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
In 2004, Steve Russo was diagnosed with lung cancer. While planning his treatment, doctors also found 7 tiny brain tumors and one that was very large.
That's right. They determined that it was 9 centimeters. That's about 3.5 inches on my brain.
For his other tumors, Steve had radiation and chemotherapy, which were successful. But for the large brain tumor, Steve came to Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're improving lives with effective, painless, non-surgical tumor treatments.
Treatment with CyberKnife was no more difficult than going to the dentist. And afterward, the tumor was gone completely. There wasn't even any scarring. It was just gone. To be here a year later, after initially being given a 5% chance of survival,
I feel very lucky.
At Rocky Mountain Cyberknife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
Top three reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number three, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number two, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number one, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate. And $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 724. 24 minutes after 7. High today, 47 degrees, AM 760. Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. Nice to have you along. Thank you for choosing us this morning. 303-713-7600. The state of your economy. We heard from Doug Henwood, editor of the Left Business Observer. Now, want to know what the state of your economy is? You know what? I'll fess up about Mary and myself. We own one car. Our other car, hopefully, will be paid off by the summer, or maybe at the latest by the fall. We recently paid off all of our credit cards, so we owe no money there, and we're trying to stash money away for either two things. Either one, to buy a house, and we've got some money in the bank for a down payment, but we want to get a bigger, you know, we want to get a bigger down. Or in case something happens here, and I get blown out, which happens a lot in radio. But basically, we paid most of that stuff down. Now, as far as shopping goes and consumer items, we're also being careful in that area. We're being pretty careful about what we buy. Although, I have to admit to you, I have to admit right up front, I spent a lot of money. We spent a lot of money on the holidays. Did most of our shopping online, and it is easy to spend money when you do your shopping online. And we bought people pretty good gifts this holiday season. But we're being careful with our dollars. And people I talk to, while Bush runs around and says the economy's great, people I talk to tell me that it isn't so great, and that they're being careful, and that they're not buying as many consumer items. And many people have candidly told me, when I've asked them, that they're in debt. They have a second on their house, or they owe to credit cards. So I want to know where you stand. 303-713-7600. I got three lines open. I know I'm kind of asking a lot here, I guess, because I'm asking you to reveal about yourself personally. But you know what? Hell, call up and don't use your real name. And I'm not asking for your bank account. I'm not asking for how balance you have in the bank. I'm just asking you basically about your spending habits and where you stand economically. So we'll see if you want to trust me and give me the information at 303-713-7600. And let's go to Mike in Denver. Mike, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Cool. Well, hey, I just wanted to let you know a little bit about my situation. I'm 26. My wife's 31, my new wife. We just got married in November.
Oh, congratulations.
My wife's a teacher for Aurora Public Schools. She only makes $35,000 a year with a master's degree.
Mm.
I recently, I'm in the middle of finishing my master's degree. I've got to finish my thesis, but you know, I've been looking for jobs, trying to get on with the federal government, and no one will hire me. And you know, it's just the job prospects. Really, really bleak right now. We're living with my parents right now. Apartments are just way too expensive. I'm part-time job down at the Capitol right now, just, you know, kind of help scrape as much together as we can, but it's tight. It's really, really tight.
Now, when you say the job situation is bleak, is it because there aren't many jobs out there or there aren't many good-paying jobs?
There's not very many good-paying jobs. And, I mean, just, you know, for somebody with, you know, with a qualification like myself, I guess, you know, I mean, it's just, there's just not a whole lot out there. You know, I mean, everybody's pushed me, you know, for as long as I remember. Oh, I'll go and, you know, you need to get your college degree. Okay, well, you know, so I got my bachelor's. You know. Oh, well, you know, that's not going to be good enough. You need to get your master's degree. Okay, well, so I'm, you know, 6 months away from my master's. Well, I'm looking and I'm not getting anything at all. And so, and we're, you know, on top of that, we're both, you know, with our combined student loan debt, we're looking at about $85,000 in student loan debt right now.
Oh, wow.
So between the two of us.
Yeah.
That's for our four-year degrees and for our master's degrees. So, and, you know, we're trying to look for a house. You know, we've had, you know, debates about it, you know, almost nightly for the past, you know, month and a half, you know, what we're, you know, trying to come up with a plan, you know, how to get out of my parents' basement. And, I mean,
Do those debates revolve around rent or buy? Is that what you're debating about?
Well, yeah, mostly. You know, I mean, if we're going to tie up all our money, you know, into something, you know, we want to feel like we're putting it towards something. And, you know, when you're renting someplace, you know, you just don't get that. You know, you're one step forward, two steps back kind of thing, you know?
Right. All right, Mike, I appreciate it, man. Appreciate your honesty, and thanks for the call. And you know what? Luck and let us know what happens.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have
okay,
a good day.
You got it. One line open at 303-713-7600. Do I have time to squeeze in one more call here before traffic? Let's go to Dorothy, who is listening in Elko, Nevada. Dorothy, good morning. You're on AM 760. Hi, are you listening to us on the radio in Elko, Nevada?
Yeah, somehow I picked you up. I don't know how, on my way to a meeting.
Wow, how cool is that?
Well, where are you at? I don't even know where you're broadcasting from.
Denver, Boulder.
Oh, okay. Okay, Colorado. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, just real quick, it sounds like you guys have a more expensive economy or real estate economy. I mean, that we can afford to buy a house and it's worth probably $250,000, but it's paid down to about 70.
Mm.
We have no credit card debt. We have no vehicle debt. We have no debt other than the mortgage. And we've done it all on incomes that have always been less than six figures. I'm 44. My husband's 49. He's a state employee. His job that he started with a master's degree 25 years ago was $18,000 salary. And we've just managed, and I would have to say having debt, having no debt and being very strict on never getting into debt has been what saved us.
And what do you do for a living, can I ask?
That's a good question. I'm a financial advisor. So that's
You know what? Your husband's extremely lucky. He's got a financial advisor for a wife. I mean, you're right there to make every move.
You know, if I knew exactly what was going to happen or what the next hot tip was, I really probably would have an island off in the Caribbean, but I don't. But what I do know is really basic, sound financial principles, which is just slowly but surely keep investing. I mean, there were times when we only invested $100 a month in his retirement because that's all we could afford.
So is that your number one tip, always invest?
Well, number one tip is always have your debt paid off. Number two tip is always have savings, cushion, emergency, and invest. Yes.
Yeah, I am invested in some things. We do have a savings, and our debt is paid off, so I guess that puts me in a good position. So when I decide to leave here and go get a job as a security guard at the Rio in Las Vegas or something, they won't have to pay me much.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, I'll stay away from the roulette wheels. Dorothy, thank you. Appreciate the call. Take care. All right. Well, this station gets out in some weird places. And see, we always call the first hour here the non-power hour, and who knows where the hell the signal's going. One line open at 303-713-7600. Yeah, I'm going to go to Vegas and basically get a job as a security guard in a casino, stand around all day. Or maybe I'll go to one of those gambling schools. You know, where they teach you how to deal blackjack and roulette and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's get a look at some progressive traffic now on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Well, we are seeing a tough ride this morning. Want to give yourself plenty of time. If you're coming out of the Thornton North Glen area, southbound I-25 runs heavy from 104th right into downtown. Crews are busy with a crash in the left lane near 20th. Then we're getting word of a new accident. This one's coming in right before Colorado Boulevard. Now, northbounders also dealing with a problem. A couple cars tangled up off to the shoulder now at Hampton and eastbound I-270. Not the place you want to be. Totally jammed from the turnpike. That's because of this three-car crash approaching York. Around town, things looking a little better, but busy on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93. Turnpike slows eastbound from Federal to Pecos.
And the warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Online, adultundergrad.du.edu. That's adultundergrad.du.edu.
We changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history. We'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
Admit it. Right after Christmas, sometimes there's a little bit of a letdown. Maybe you just want the holidays to keep going. Or maybe you didn't get quite what you were hoping for. Well, Gander Mountain, we've got the cure for any case of post-holiday blues. It's the winter clearance, with savings of up to 50% off Gander Mountain's everyday low prices. Get 30 to 50% off men's and women's sportswear and outerwear. 25 to 50% off camo and blaze outerwear and accessories. Plus, during the Gander Mountain winter clearance, you can get an additional 10% off all clearance firearms. You can even get 40% off all in-stock tree stands. So hurry into Gander Mountain and get those things you didn't find under your tree. Or just get yourself a big head start on spring. But while winter clearance at Gander Mountain will be going on through the end of January, you need to hurry in now for the best selection. Hey, there's no letdown here, just lower prices. Gander Mountain, we live outdoors.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
PC Answers.
I'm with Spyware Anonymous, and we don't appreciate you going to people's homes and offices and cleaning out their computers. If you don't stop it, we'll come down...
Sorry, little bug. This is John Hogan with PC Answers. Don't let spyware and viruses drive you, buggy. Let us exterminate them for you quickly and painlessly. Call PC Answers at 303-548-1414. That's PC Answers, 303-548-1414.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
Stick in it to righties everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Acoustic from J. Marvin at 7:36. 26 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Professor Michael Greenberger joins us. We're going to talk about the Alito confirmation hearings in regard to how this nomination ties into the whole debate that's been going on here about executive authority and domestic spying. We'll do that after 8 o'clock. Right now, the state of the economy. Bush says it's great. How's it going with you? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Francis in Denver. Francis, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Francis.
Hi. If it's not possible, I'd rather talk more about the job market and the hiring process instead of debt, if that's all right with you.
Well, you can talk about any aspect of the economy you want to.
You've read Barbara Ehrenreich's Bait and Switch, right?
Right, I have.
What really jumped out at me was the emphasis on personality as far as the hiring for white-collar jobs.
Right.
I have a 4-year degree in biology. I'm proud that I'm a woman who got a hard science degree, and I was in veterinary school. I dropped out with 1 year to go because I was afraid for my readiness for the job, because I didn't know what to make of all this stuff about personality and connecting with your clients, because basically the way to prove you're a people person is if other people seek you out. And I didn't have a lot of that experience. Basically, right now, I'm making $8.76 an hour as a cashier at TIA. I've gotten good reviews, but the management's been changing, in my establishment. I'm trying to find a new job. I've been having trouble getting my foot in the door at hospitals because I have no certification whatsoever. I've been out of school for 2.5 years. I'm trying to get back into grad school and complete some kind of advanced degree.
You need to go back to school. That would be my first suggestion. But, you know, can I interrupt you a second about the personality part? You know, that part, you know...
we all need the charisma of John Edwards to get an entry-level job in retail?
I don't think we all need the charisma of John Edwards. I think that... You know, that you certainly can't apply for a job or work at a workplace and be negative and sour, but you don't have to have the charisma of John Edwards. You just have to basically treat others nice, be a nice person, stay out of what's going on personally in the place you work. But let me tell you a quick story.
Go ahead, Jay.
I have a pretty outgoing personality, and I can be a people person at times. But I reached a point after doing this for 31 years that I decided that I wasn't going to get involved in office politics anymore and any kind of BS. And then number two, I was in a situation where I was at a job where I was extremely unhappy, okay? And I was so unhappy that it started to impede on my mental health. And let me tell you what happened to me. I became morose. I became withdrawn. And the end result was that I had to part company with my employer. We both mutually agreed to part. What I'm saying to you is, you just have to be personable and nice, and you sound like a nice person to me, but you don't have to be John Edwards in order to have a successful career and get a good job.
I'm afraid that's where we're going. The other day I was driving my mother to eat at an Italian restaurant in Greenwood Village. You know where that is. I passed by some buildings. And I'm afraid that in many upper-class parts of town, there's an unspoken requirement to spend lots of money on image maintenance. I happen to be overweight, not too overweight, but I chew my nails. My hair is long. I like my hair long. I happen to have a mood disorder. I happen to be in counseling.
Well, see,
And I'm afraid that all of those are going to keep me from getting a job despite my education.
No. You know what? I'm a living example to the contrary. I have been in counseling, in talking therapy, and taking meds for somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 years. You know what? Have I screwed myself out of some good jobs because of my mental attitude? Yes. Have I made some poor choices? Yes. Would I be bigger in this business had I not made those poor choices? Yes. But you know what? If I can do it and I can make it, anybody can make it. And right now, I have the best job out there. I really do. I'm happier now than I've ever been. Am I making as much money as I once made? No. But you know what? I really, really like my job. And you know something? If I can do it, you can do it. And people are not going to judge you about your weight. They're not going to judge you about any of those things. They're going to judge you about your competency, your ability, and your ability to be able to get along with others. And it sounds like to me on the phone, you're getting along with me okay, so it doesn't seem like you have any problem in that area. You just have to continue to stay in the counseling and get some belief in yourself.
There's such a premium on looking confident. And I have lost a couple of temp jobs simply for being a poor fit. And I think it's that looking confident part.
Well, but that's going to happen to everybody. We all lose jobs. I mean, good God, you know how many times I've been fired?
How many times?
Oh, let's see. I'd say no less than probably 6 to 7.
And how about all these studies that say make a good attitude? I have a sinking suspicion that, say, if I had to move to the Deep South, I don't get hired unless I belong to a church. Because what can I say? Religion makes you feel good.
You know what? That's not true either. I worked in the Deep South. I worked in the Deep South for 17 years as a country music disc jockey, except for stops in Chicago and San Francisco. And you want to know something? I never went to church. I'm a Jew, for God's sakes. And you know what? I mean, I played religious music on the radio, and I appreciated it and learned to like it. But, nobody ever said to me, if you want to work at WMPS here in Memphis, you better believe in the Lord. Nobody ever said that. They never questioned that. All they looked at was my ability and whether I was, whether I could get along with others and whether I could be a team player instead of being an S-head. And I've worked with people that are S-heads, and a lot of them, end up in the end shooting themselves in the foot. Look. You know what? I wish I had all day to sit down and talk to you, but let me make a couple of recommendations. Please, listen.
Yes.
Stay in your counseling. Are you on meds?
Yes, I happen to be. It makes me ashamed to have to be on meds.
All right.
I want a more professional job.
There's nothing wrong with being on meds, okay? And make sure the meds are right for you, and make sure you're going to a qualified a physician, a qualified mental health expert, and then, you know what? Stay in that counseling, and you know what? And go and work on these issues about belief in yourself. Go and work on these issues about image problems. Get these things ironed out, and you know something? The whole world will open up to you. But let me ask one last question. How old are you? Do you mind answering that question?
I'm 28 years old. I should be in my prime. You know, these women in their 40s and 50s getting plastic surgery to be youthful.
That's not true. When I was 28, I wasn't in my prime. I was nowhere near. I'm 53 years old. I'm not in my prime. I was not in my prime when I was 28. You know what? As a matter of fact, now I think back on it, at 28 years old, I think I was unemployed. You know, you got years to go. You're only 25. You've got years. If I could be 25 again, the things I could do. Nonsense. You can turn your, and I don't want to sound like Dr. Laura. I don't want to sound like an inspirational person because I'm not. I'm basically at times a very negative person and I'm very cynical. And as everybody knows who listens to this station, I got a huge sense of anger. But you know something? I'm telling you, you can do this. If I can do it, you can do it.
I know. One last thing.
All right, one last thing quickly.
Okay. I have a sinking suspicion that you, anymore, you have to think and act like a Republican to get to the upper echelons of the company anymore.
No.
And I refuse to do that.
No, you don't have to. I don't think like a Republican, and I'm surviving. I'm not in the upper echelons of the company because I don't belong there. I don't have, you know, I that's just not me. But you know something? I work with a lot of people who are not Republicans. You know what? As a matter of fact, unless you're working in talk radio, probably the best thing you can do is don't mix politics with business. All right, let me know what happens to you. Email me. I am concerned. And hang in there, Francis. Good things are coming for you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
And I believe that. I believe good things are coming to man. Would I like to be 25 again? And the things I could do if I was 25?
I'm 31, and I wish I was 25 again, Jay.
Yeah, Newbom Turk wishes he was like 25. Don't we wish we were 25 and we could just like roll back all the mistakes that we've made and all the crazy stuff we've done? Man, oh man, and I've done a ton of them. And so have a lot of other people. And we're all alive, aren't we? See, I believe this. I really believe this. It's the only positive thought I ever have in life, and Mary will vouch for this. There's an inherent part of me that believes every day the sun comes up, you got some kind of a chance to make some kind of difference and to do something. 7:45, 15 minutes away from 8 o'clock, AM 760, Progressive Talk, Jay Marvin, the state of the economy, more of your calls coming up. No open lines, but keep trying. 303-713-76.
A deadly infectious disease called meningococcal meningitis killed my daughter. Parents in Denver need to know it may be prevented through vaccination. My child did not have to die. Ask your doctor about immunization.
A message from the National Meningitis Association.
The bounce off on I-25 running heavy from 104th into downtown. Have a crash in the clearing stages near 20th, adding to those jams. And now a new wreck, this one just north of the Colorado Boulevard. Northbound I-25 also dealing with a problem. Couple cars tangled up off to the shoulder at Hampton. And eastbound I-270 totally jammed, looking more like a parking lot. Looking more like a parking lot from the turnpike, that's because of this three-car crash approaching York. Now around town, actually looking pretty good on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93, busy on Arapahoe, Broadway, and Bayside, and the turnpike. Usual slowing eastbound from Federal to Pecos. Onto the cast, going to be cooler today, highs in the 40s, so not much warmer than we are right now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Applejack Wine and Spirits is offering prices for 2006 on wine, spirits, and beers that will blow you away. Pick up your favorites for...
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? It's time to get out of debt and get on with your life. Call for Care One services at 1-800-550-3312. Are you behind in paying medical bills or personal loans? Been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Call Care One services for a consultation and debt analysis at 1-800-550-3312. In just one call, you can find out how quickly your debt can be paid in full. People who call for Care One services save an average of 30% in payments every month. Some can save up to 57%. So if you're over your head in credit card bills, call now and receive a consultation and debt analysis. Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-550-3312. That's 1-800-550-3312.
You are not easy to pin down. You're not one-dimensional. You're diverse. You have a wide range of interests, hobbies, and pastimes, all of which call for a bountiful bouquet of televised entertainment. That's why Comcast Digital Cable is offering you up to 200 channels of choice for just $49.99 for 3 months. For the sports fan, there's ESPN, Fox Sports, and Altitude. The kid in you gets Nickelodeon, Noggin, and Sprout. And your inner movie buff can watch up to 7 channels of HBO with Million Dollar Baby, The Ring 2, and new seasons of The Sopranos and Deadwood in March. Plus, you can enjoy over 2,300 hours of movies, shows, and music with the magic of On Demand. Select from a continually updated library and watch what you want, when you want. $49.99 gets you 3 months of up to 200 channels from Comcast Digital Cable. With that many choices, even a multifaceted individual like you is sure to be satisfied. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. Certain restrictions apply. Offer good through January 21st and not available in all areas. Call for details.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
They make food at Tim Stark with passion. Like the habit-forming blue cheese bacon burger taco, a cooked-to-order burger topped with bacon, crumbled blue cheese, chipotle sauce, lettuce, and hand-battered fried onion strings, all placed into flour tortillas. Tim Stark's menu certainly has a southwestern orientation, but incorporates flavors from Texas and beyond. Drop by Tim Stark in the tech center and join them for lunch, dinner, or for a cold beer or margarita and some spicy queso. Click on the banner in the player for directions. 10 Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
Has tickets to share with charitable organizations and youth groups. And these tickets are absolutely free. Tickets are available for the Draft Horse Show. That's Friday, January the 20th, 7 in the evening. Saturday, January 21st, 1 p.m. and also 7 p.m. And Sunday, January 22nd at 12 noon. And tickets include general admission. So if you're with a charitable group, a youth group, a charity, and you want free tickets to the 100th National Western Stock Show, then call Rockies at 303-426-4646. That's 303-426-4646 and ask for Sergio. Rockies, not only a great place to buy a good, clean, used car, but you know something? There are also people who care about the community. So once again, if you're with a charity or youth group and you want free tickets to the stock show, 303-426-4646. Take your entire group on Rockies, because they really care. Rockies, 63rd and Federal.
Top three reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number three, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number two, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number one, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate, and $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon. And right now, you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:51, 9 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Coming up next hour, Professor Michael Greenberger. He joins us to talk about the Alito confirmation hearings, now on its last day as far as the cross-examination of Alito goes, and in regard to how this nomination ties into the executive authority and domestic spying. Right now, though, we're talking about the state of the economy, and let's go to Jeff in Westminster. Jeff, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just got off work.
There you go.
But, yeah, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but I used to be in the IT industry here, working at a Fortune 50 company, and making close to $30 an hour, and not anymore. I'm down to about $10 an hour working two part-time jobs.
Wow.
So, but for the lady that was calling before, talking about being on meds or whatever, I've got a friend of mine that works at a computer company that's got ADD pulling down $60,000 a year, so... You know, that's not really a factor. You just need to have the right attitude, and you know.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You say you're working two jobs. Can I ask you, without getting too personal, what those jobs are?
Yeah, right now I work at a bookstore and part-time as a security guard at a casino.
Oh, well, my dream job.
Yeah. Well, actually, I checked into that in Vegas last time I was on vacation, and they pay about the same as they pay up here, and you got to be armed down there.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
About a 6. Because I'm putting in too many hours, not getting enough sleep, and, you know, paying off debts that I incurred when I was making 60 grand a year.
So I take it that you're pretty economic in the way you spend your nickels and dimes, right?
Oh, I don't spend money on anything anymore. If I don't need it, I don't buy it.
And how much longer do you see yourself doing this? If I could come to you and say, hey, Jeff, you can have any career you want, what would you take?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the tech industry was good in its prime, but I don't know that I'd want to get back into it. It's too unstable. Too many jobs are leaving this country. That, you know, the high tech, the science, good paying jobs. You know, I don't know. It's kind of sad, but actually, fast food management would be a big step up. So at this point, I don't really know which direction to go in, you know?
I hear you, man. Jeffrey, thank you. I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're listening.
You bet.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go down to Vegas and become a security guard. I would love to have a job like that. You know what? I'd like to just have a job in Vegas sweeping floors. I mean, picking, you know, going through the casinos and picking trash up and emptying ashtrays. Don't you ever feel like that sometimes? Like you'd like to get like a no-brainer job someplace? No, everybody thinks I'm nuts? Okay. You know what? And I got a great job, too, so I got to stop talking like that. Let's go to Brian in Colorado Springs. Brian, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Briefly on the economic situation of myself, I'm 40 years old. I'm a self-employed painter, forced into it, not by choice, but by a company I worked for. The owner decided that he wanted to move to Florida and fired 12 people. So I was lucky, and I was taken under the wing of some very kind people that showed me how to become a businessman more than a painter. And as far as the economy goes, my wife and I, she works for Penrose Hospital, and we do about 60 plus thousand a year. The confidence thing is important. Okay, it's extremely important. If you want to make money, you have to be confident, you have to educate yourself, and you have to apply the education in whatever field that you choose to go in, whether you're going to be a bagger at a grocery store, be the best bagger that you can possibly be, and people will recognize that, and they'll understand that you are trying to be a participant in the economic circle. You know, my situation is we flow money through businesses, people, clients, everything. You know, it can be a lot better. But, man, it could be a lot worse, you know.
All right, Brian. Thank you, man. Great call.
Yep.
Take care.
Yep.
Let's go to Jeremy in Glendale. Jeremy, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jeremy.
Buddy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, bud. Just got back from Mexico about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. First vacation I took in 2 years. Mm. Saved up all my pennies for it. But, you know, on the economy real quick. $52,000 a year for a family of three, both of us working. That's with a lot of overtime.
Right.
I mean, I make $11 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the economy, I think it's a matter of personal choice. If they send you that new gold card, you don't have to take. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think there's some you always have to have spending discipline. There's no question about that.
Yeah, because, I'm completely undisciplined, but I drive a 20-year-old car that's paid for. My house is tiny. You look at, like, cribs on MTV. My house is the size of some of those people's closets, right?
Right.
But I'm looking at a little piece of land in Zihuatanejo. Hopefully we'll get it this year. And hopefully everything will be paid off, including that, in about 3 years. It's just a matter of willpower and discipline. As for Frances, the only person who can keep her down is her. You know, once she realizes that, she can do anything she wants to.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with you. You know, buying land in Mexico makes me extremely nervous.
Well, see, my wife is from down there originally. We have family down there. It's pretty well.
All right. Yeah. Then you're in good shape. Jeremy, thank you, man. Take care, and thanks for the call.
Hey, Jay, real quick.
I got to run, man.
All right. Hey.
I got to go.
See you on the beach, buddy.
You got it. All right. I always keep talking about traveling someplace out of the country, but I never go. I always end up going to Las Vegas. Professor Michael Greenberg. We're going to talk about Alito and about his belief in expansive executive power and how this ties into the NSA spying situation. That's coming up next year on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Thanks for plugging in and being with us.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
My dream home? My TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime. Only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn about their world, so follow their lead. Take everyday moments like sorting laundry, shopping, waiting for the bus, and turn them into learning moments. For more information, visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And all news from around the world.
AM 760.
CBS News.
CKZN. Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. Underway now on Capitol Hill, Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito fielding more questions from the Senate Judiciary Committee. No new fireworks yet, says CBS's Barry Bagnetto.
Alito was asked about the controversial case of Terri Schiavo, who died after a long battle over whether she wished to be removed from life support. He says if the patient's wishes are clear...
That is a right that people have had under our legal system for... a long time.
Democrats here have demanded to see documents about Alito's participation in a Princeton group that opposed admitting women and minorities years ago. Republican Chairman Arlen Specter says...
The files contain dozens of articles, including investigative expose written at the height of the organization's prominence. But Samuel Alito's name is nowhere to be found in any of them.
Outside witnesses should begin testifying later. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Near Mecca, more than 100 Muslim pilgrims have been killed in a crowd stampede at the Hajj. More than 1,000 others have been hurt. Medical officials say the death toll could go as high as 300. Sky News reporter Mehdi Hassan says they were crushed during a ritual stoning of the devil.
It's a real crowded place. There are over 1 million pilgrims here in Mecca at the moment. Hundreds of thousands in this very small area.
Tens of thousands of Muslims, anxious to purge themselves of sin, were rushing to throw stones at three pillars representing the devil before sunset on the final day of the ritual. The man who shot Pope John Paul II walked out of an Istanbul prison after 25 years behind bars. Reporter David O'Byrne describes the reception he got.
There was a large group of supporters of various right-wing groups who were waiting outside the prison to greet Arjun when he was released. They were carrying Turkish flags, they were shouting right-wing slogans. And when the car carrying him emerged from the prison, they threw red and yellow flowers over the car.
Turkey's justice minister is reviewing the release of Mehmet Ali Aga, says it's possible he could be sent back to prison. To this day, Aga has never said why he tried to kill the Pope. A study in the British journal Nature blames global warming and a fungus wiping out colorful harlequin frogs in Central and South America. CBS's Vicky Barker has that from London.
Ecologist Chris Thomas says the article's message is chilling.
What it does is to show that at least a number of these extinctions, and perhaps rather a lot of them,
might happen rather faster than we had thought.
If the clock is ticking faster than previously calculated, he says, that could have huge implications for other species and habitats, including some that support human life. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
President Bush was on the phone this morning with acting Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. It's the first time they've spoken since Prime Minister Sharon's stroke last week. Near Wiggins, Mississippi, half a dozen people have been killed in an early morning pileup involving a big rig and a pickup truck. A deputy says he believes victims in the truck were college students. In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's down 36.5 points. NASDAQ's about 5 points lower. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm, Tiger Balm, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
My name's Joanne, and it's my fifth day with Prilis Echo TC. I used to have friends over on Sundays to watch football until frequent heartburn came and spoiled the party. But with Prilis Echo TC, I can't wait till this Sunday. I'm ready to ice down the sodas and fire up the grill. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilis Echo TC. It's day five for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
The crowds are...
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
Tough ride this morning. Want to give yourself plenty of time. Coming out of the Thornton Northland area, southbound I-25. Running heavy from 104th into downtown. Had an earlier crash at 20th. That's been just cleared out of the way. Still slow, though, as you make your way past that into or through T-Rex. Now, northbound I-25 dealing with two accidents coming out of the tech center. One northbound at Hampton, the other one waiting for you at Yale, so expect delays back to Arapahoe. And eastbound I-270 still totally jammed onto the turnpike now because of the three-car crash off to the shoulder approaching York. Now around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93, South Boulder Road, Arapahoe and Broadway are busy, and the turnpike seeing the usual delays eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. On to the forecast, going to be cooler today, highs in the 40s, so not much warmer than we are now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Applejack Wine and Spirits is offering prices for 2006 on wine, spirits, and beers that will blow you away. Pick up your favorites for what?
What would Lewis and Clark think today of the land they crossed 200 years ago? Walk with them and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
A message from the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
And save with triple pane windows. Hi, I'm Jeff Kingery for Odyssey Windows. The problem with replacing your windows is the cost, right? Well, the most affordable triple pane window you can buy is the Odyssey window. Find out for yourself. Go to the Troubleshooter Network, odysseywindows.com, or call 303-445-0578.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 8:05, 5 minutes after 8, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin, good to have you along. High today, 47 degrees under intermittent clouds. We're going to talk to Professor Michael Greenberger about the Alito confirmation hearings and in his regard, in regard to how this nomination ties into executive authority and domestic spying. Greenberger is the director of the Center for Health and Homeland Security at the University of Maryland and a professor at the law school. And, Professor, it's good to have you on. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
All right, let's get into Alito and this whole idea of executive authority and how this relates to domestic spying. First of all, is it true that the what they say about Judge Alito and what has come out, and when you look at his writings, that he does believe in unbridled executive authority?
Well, I believe that that is the case, although I must say he's been very clever in the way he's couched his responses at the hearing so far in that issue. He's been asked questions about whether the president is above the law or whether the president must abide by the Constitution, and his answers have been yes, and that on a superficial level seems very reassuring. The problem is that the president is now asserting, and Judge Alito has given very strong indications in various speeches he's given that his constitutional powers are very extraordinary, especially his power as commander-in-chief in fighting the war on terror. And that has led him most recently to, after making a big deal out of supporting, finally, the McCain Amendment banning torture by the United States, when he signed that legislation, he appended a signing statement said that he would only comply with it in regard to its consistency with his powers as commander-in-chief, thereby implying that there would be instances in which he didn't feel the necessity to comply. And the NSA warrantless eavesdropping, where he's disregarded the FISA statute, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and has refused to get warrants from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and is eavesdropping on U.S. citizens without any oversight by any of the other branches. So it's one thing to say the president is not above the law, the president will comply with the law, he will be sure to make sure that the president complies with the law. The question is, what is the law? And the law here seems to be that in fighting a war on terror that will go on for decades, the president is really restricted by no law, that is the law that he is bound by.
I find that to be incomprehensible. I find that to be amazing. That, you know, what is up with George W. Bush, number one, and his legal advisors? Because to me, and I'm a layman, you know, he clearly broke the law. And then you got to worry about Alito going to the Supreme Court and perhaps some way, shape, or form this whole issue working its way before the court.
Well, it's not if it will work its way before the court. It has worked its way before the court, and it's working its way before the court as we speak. The president's position is that in combating the war on terror, which is a war both in the United States and outside of the United States, he has extraordinary powers under the Constitution, what are called inherent powers, to just do about anything he wants to do. We saw that in his assertion that he could detain United States citizens in military prisons and hold them incommunicado without access to the outside world and not bring them before courts for process, and that decision was unreviewable. That's already a position he's taken. The only justice who has supported that in litigation before the court is Justice Thomas. But I think Chief Justice Roberts, as evidenced in his vote in the so-called Hamdan decision when he was on the D.C. Circuit, and Judge Alito, by virtue of his speeches, are very supportive of this idea that the commander-in-chief, when fighting a war on terror, can do what he chooses to do. Now, I must say, in fairness to all that, I think everyone concedes that the president is commander-in-chief when he is fighting a battle, does have extraordinary powers, and he can't be second-guessed as to where he's going to put troops or who he's going to detain on the battlefield. You can't have judges in Congress second-guessing that judgment. But the president has taken the position that the war on terror is here in the United States, and that he has domestic powers in the United States to fight that war on terror. And unlike most wars where you know there's a definite beginning and a definite end, everybody understands, including the Supreme Court, that the war on terror will be for many decades. So essentially what this converts itself into, that for as far as the eye can see, the president is commander-in-chief, not only has these extraordinary powers on the battlefield as we conventionally know it, but has extraordinary powers in the United States and therefore can arrest citizens without process, can eavesdrop on citizens without warrants, and can engage in torture even though Congress has barred it by overwhelming majorities.
See, that seems so fundamentally wrong to me on all fronts. And I wonder if somebody does challenge this, or you say that it is working its way through the courts, the illegal wiretapping in particular, that if the decision somehow goes against the president, that those people that have been eavesdropped on, those people that have been detained illegally, then all that evidence would be tainted, would it not? Because it would all be acquired illegally, and that would open up a whole can of worms.
That's exactly right. But the whole question, again, is Justice Judge Alito says the president is not above the law, and you say if this is illegal, that would lead to bad results. The question is, does Judge Alito believe that this is illegal? And his speeches that he's given have made it clear, I would say reasonably clear, that he is of the view that the president has these extraordinary powers, which, by the way, until the Supreme Court ruled in a series of cases in 2004, many judges of the same ideological stripe as Judge Alito were fully prepared to rule in the lower courts. So it's definitely an ideology that is rampant. And the questions that really need to be raised, and I'm afraid have not been raised clearly in the Senate hearings to date, because I think he's been very effective in saying the president is not above the law, and the senators are saying, oh, well, you know, we agree with that, and thank goodness you do too. But the question is, what is the law that the president has to abide by?
8:13, 13 minutes after 8, AM 760 Progressive Talk. Professor Michael Greenberger on the line with us, and we're talking about Judge Alito and executive authority. What specifically, because I'm not a legal scholar, what specifically does Alberto Gonzalez and the people surrounding the president, what specifically in the Constitution do they point to that gives George W. Bush these broad powers that he can ignore a FISA court, that he can detain people without the right of trial or representation? Where do they point to get this?
They point to the inherent power of the president in being able to conduct a war. And he is unmistakably the commander-in-chief, no doubt about it. And I think everybody understands that as commander-in-chief, for example, in Afghanistan or Iraq, in terms of how many troops to deploy or where the troops should be or how the battle should be fought, that is what the traditional role of the commander-in-chief. You can second-guess that. You can have oversight on it. But nobody disputes the fact that that's the president's role. What Alberto Gonzalez, the president, and I believe Judge Alito believe is that commander-in-chief power is not limited to the battlefield, or they want to make very clever arguments that the battlefield in the war on terror is all over the place. They have some basis for saying that. We were attacked in the United States, and they take that argument. We were attacked in New York. We had the anthrax attacks in Washington. Excuse me. That this is a nationwide battle, and therefore, in order to fight it, the president as commander-in-chief can take extraordinary measures in fighting that battle, and part of his measures, legitimate measures, are eavesdropping on U.S. citizens, detaining U.S. citizens without process, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in fairness, they've tried to grasp on to various legislative efforts to say, well, it's not just inherent power. We have some statutory authority, and what they turn to is Congress's passage on September 19th, 2001, of the authorization of force in Afghanistan, and they try to tease into that statute, which clearly nobody ever thought applied, for example, to eavesdropping, that Congress really, on top of the inherent powers in the Constitution, Congress told them all these eavesdropping without warrants, arresting U.S. citizens without process, that that's okay.
I don't get this. Where they conclude that because of that resolution in 2001, and also where in the Constitution or in the framers' minds would give them the right to disregard the Fourth and the Sixth Amendment? I really have a hard time understanding this.
Well, what I am telling you is that a theory of the unitary executive, which is being talked about but not really carefully explained in my mind, the theory is that the president's commander-in-chief trumps the Fourth Amendment, trumps the Sixth Amendment, that he must do what he must do to protect the American people. And that sounds very attractive, but you on the surface, but when you analyze it, I think the traditional thinking is that the president is commander-in-chief on a real battlefield where there's live ammunition and armed services are defending themselves, yes, he has very extraordinary powers. And that would be true if the battle like the Civil War were fought in the United States. But that we are not in that kind of war domestically that allows him unilaterally or certainly without express statutory authority, or conversely, in the face of statutory authority going the other way, such as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that he can just do whatever he wants to do in the United States or in territories very close to it, like Guantanamo Bay.
All right, man, maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, but you don't buy this, do you?
I not only don't buy it, I think when all is said and done, it is the most important issue that is confronting us right now as citizens. I don't want to diminish in any way concerns about whether Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned or affirmative action issues or other issues, social issues relating to discrimination and civil liberties. But if the president has the power that is being asserted here to do things that he views as being within the law and constitutionally, it in essence makes the president the king or a dictator. And that's why I think a lot of the Republican senators who are so quick to be enthusiastic and accept superficial answers by Judge Alito are effectively letting Judge Alito sell them the very rope that will be put around their necks, because in the end, what he's saying is, for example, Senator McCain, who to great fanfare outlawed the United States' use of torture, what he's saying is, I believe, what the president has said in his signing statement, that I, as commander-in-chief, have the right to selectively disregard that statute. I have that right as a matter of a constitutional law.
And you know what? He's going to get confirmed, Alito.
Well, it certainly looks like that as we sit here today, but I think people who are concerned about this and other issues should not sit idly by. I think the final analysis is going to be what the American people think about this, and if the American people are concerned about it, they certainly should be telling their U.S. senators that they're concerned. And conversely, some people believe that these civil liberties should be given up to the president because they want to be protected, and if they are of that view that they're prepared to give up their liberties and have their phones tapped and have the possibility that U.S. citizens can be put in jail, then they ought to tell their senators, we support this nomination.
Boy, this is a nightmare scenario. It really is. Professor, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it this morning.
You're welcome.
All right, there's Professor Michael Greenberger. You know, I have sent email to Salazar. I have sent email to Allard. And if you haven't done it, do it. And let them know that, you know what, you're not giving up your civil liberties and you oppose the Alito nomination. And don't waste any more time. Do it today. 8:20, 20 minutes after 8, AM 760. Progressive Talk. Coming up next, our old buddy, D.C. correspondent John Nichols. He writes for The Nation and other publications. And we'll get his take on the Alito hearings. And I'll ask him about Lindsey Graham, too, in the story that was in the Wall Street Journal about Graham prepping Alito and then getting on the Judiciary Committee.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French. But when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software, and we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try our amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-339-1195. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience the fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-339-1195. That's 1-800-339-1195.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand laptop coffee. Laptop coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
A well candidate for CyberKnife.
It's a good thing because it really was my only hope.
Beverly was treated at Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're restoring hope for tumor patients. Even those who think they have no options, CyberKnife destroys tumors with a beam of radiation while sparing surrounding tissue with 1 millimeter accuracy.
It was unbelievable. I just laid there comfortably enjoying music, and now I'm told I no longer have lung cancer. I've had cancer surgery, and I can't believe this is all it took to get rid of a lung tumor.
At Rocket and CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
Reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number 3, since all the decorations came down, this place needs some pizzazz. Number 2, I've been seeing it in my mind. It's time to see it on my walls. And number 1, money back on the paint.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Behr interior or exterior paint by manufacturer mail-in rebate, and $20 off 5 gallon buckets. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 16th in U.S. stores only. See store for details.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
8:24, 24 minutes after 8. Good morning. Hi, today, 47. Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Thanks for being here. Really do appreciate it. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to John Nichols. He's a D.C. correspondent for The Nation and has written for other publications, and he's just an all-around good guy, an all-around good-to-go guy, and have him on here as much as possible because I really like him. If you were out yesterday at work or wherever you were and you didn't hear some of the stuff that went on in the Alito confirmation hearings from yesterday, and it got hot, it got sparky, well, you know, which is fine with me. I mean, the Democrats ought to go for it. And I said this morning, between 6 and 7. There is nothing wrong with the Democrats asking Alito to explain his whole involvement and his whole, the whole situation, the whole ball of wax, about CAP. And that whole organization and its role in Princeton. That he put that on a 1985 job application, the Concerned Alumni of Princeton, which was a radical right organization, because I said this morning, you know what, if this were a Democratic nominee, and that nominee had in his background the SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, the Black Panther Party, the Social Workers Party, you know, name any radical left organization. You don't think that the Democrats would be down on this guy trying to figure out if he still supported their views and would want to know why you would put on a job application belonging to an organization and then later you say, well, I don't remember anything about it. I don't remember being a member. I don't remember anything about it. Except that I wanted ROTC back on campus in Princeton. Even though ROTC was already back. And he bragged about this in an 85 job application. All right, here's a little bit of yesterday. This is Kennedy and Arlen Specter, Ted Kennedy and Arlen Specter. And Ted Kennedy wanted more of the writings of a concerned alumni of Princeton, and Specter was giving him grief on it. Here's what it sounded like.
Mr. Chairman, if I could have your attention, I think we ought to vote on issuing a subpoena to the custodian of those CAP records. And I want to do that at an appropriate time. I'd move that the committee go into executive session for the purpose of voting on the issuing of the sole purpose for issuing the subpoena of those records.
Well, we'll consider that, Senator Kennedy.
Well,
there are many requests which are coming to me in many quarters, and quite candidly, I view the request. If it's really a matter of importance, you and I see each other all the time. You've never mentioned it to me. And I do not ascribe a great deal of weight. We actually didn't get a letter, but...
You did get a letter, are you saying?
Well, now, wait a minute. You don't know what I got. I'm about
to... Of course I do, sir. Senator, since I sent it.
Well, the sender doesn't necessarily know what the recipient gets, Senator Kennedy.
I've got it right here.
You are not in the position to... say what I receive. If you'll bear with me for just 1 minute.
But I am in a position to say what I sent to you on December 22nd.
Well, you're
so
in a position,
I renew my.
You're in a position to tell me what you
sent. I renew my request, Senator. And if I'm going to be denied, then I'd appeal the decision of the chair. I think we are entitled to this information. It deals with the fundamental issues of equality and discrimination. This nominee has indicated he has no objection to us seeing these issues. We've gone over the questions, and we are entitled to get that kind of information. And if you're going to rule it out of order, I want to have a vote on that here on our committee.
Well, don't be premature, Senator Kennedy. I'm not about to make a ruling on this state of the record. I hope you won't mind if I consider it, and I hope you won't mind if I give you the specifics that there was no letter which I received. I take umbrage that you're telling me what I received. I don't mind your telling me what you mailed. But there's a big difference between what's mailed and what's received, and you know that. We're going to move on now.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd appeal the ruling of the chair on this.
There's been no ruling of the chair, Senator
Kennedy.
Well,
my request is that we go into the executive session for the sole purpose voting on a subpoena for these records that are held over at the Library of Congress. That purpose and that purpose only. And if
well,
I'm going to be denied that, I'd want to give notice to the chair that you're going to have it again and again and again, and we're going to have votes of this committee again and again and again until we have a resolution.
Senator Kennedy, I'm not concerned about your threats to have votes again, again, and again. And I'm the chairman of this committee, and I have heard your request, and I will consider it. And I'm not going to have you run this committee and decide when we're going to go into executive session. We're in the middle of a round of hearings. This is the first time you have personally called it to my attention, and this is the first time that I have focused on it. And I will consider it in due course. And now we'll move to Senator Grassley for 20 minutes.
Now, do you believe the Arlen Specter never got that letter? All right, you got to judge for yourself who won that. But you know, Specter got that letter. See, don't you find the GOP? Don't you find the Republicans incredible? He got caught. Specter got caught with his pants down. 8:30 a.m. 760. Progressive Talk. Progressive Traffic now with Bailey.
Well, thanks, Jay. We're seeing a tough ride this morning. Trouble on the turnpike. Eastbound have a crash off to the shoulder approaching Church Ranch. And now another one, this one right around Federal. Now westbound I-76 close with a new accident at Federal. And we're also dealing with big delays. Eastbound I-270 jam back to the turnpike now. That's because of this three-car crash just before York. Crews are working to get that out of your way. Now around town, Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93, they're busy.
Need something to complete your indoor game room? Then go to MileHighMarket.com and get a multi-game table with poker, blackjack, and bumper pool all in one. Or do you need prime seating to watch all of the upcoming sports action? Then check out the iJoy Robotic Massage Chair. If you're a workout buff, then the New Balance Recumbent Exercise Bike is for you. All this and more is available at MileHighMarket.com.
Buy today and receive an extra 5% off and free shipping to your door. MileHighMarket.com, powered by Gately's.
To the new and improved AM 760, Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Thermal Advantage is looking to test 100 homes for energy efficiency. All your old windows will be taken out and new windows will be installed. They must test these windows in a real home environment to prove to the public that each and every homeowner will save 50% on their energy bill, or they will reimburse you the difference. For participating when the test is complete, you will be able to keep the windows. Call Thermal Advantage today, 303-487-6880. Operators available 24 hours a day. Call today.
832, 28 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Hey, if you're a head of a charity or a youth group and you want to go see the 100th National Western Stock Show, you want to go see the stock show, Rockies Autos has got an important message for you. Rockies has got free tickets for charities and youth groups, and all you have to do is pick up the phone and call Sergio at 303-426-4646. That's 303-426-4646. So if you're the head of a charity or you're the head of a youth group and you want to take the entire group, you want to take the entire charity, call Rockies, because they've got tickets for youth groups and charities for the stock show. So just call them at 303-426-4646. They've got tickets available to the Draft Horse Show. That's coming up Friday, January the 20th, 7 in the evening. Saturday, January 21st, two shows, one in the afternoon and 7 at night. And on Sunday, January the 22nd at 12 noon. And the tickets include general admission. So if you're with a charitable organization or with a youth group and you want to go to this, you want to go see the stock show, then what you need to do is call Sergio at 303-426-4646. The tickets are absolutely free. There are no strings attached, and it's your chance to take your charitable group to see the National Western Stock Show. And you can do it for free. Rockies Autos, 63rd and Federal. I've been telling you about them. They're a great place to buy a clean, late model used car, truck, minivan, or SUV. And you know what else? They're also people who not only care about you when you come in the shop with them, but they also care about the community. So once again, if you're with a charity or a youth group, call Rockies for free tickets to the National Western Stock Show, the 100th National Western Stock Show, simply by asking for Sergio at 303-426-4646. Rockies at 63rd and Federal.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
You can now get up on the left side of the bed. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Yeah, we had to play this for Pat Robertson. But the Israeli government is now told to take a hike after his comments about Ariel Sharon. He's going to build that big multi-million or billion-dollar Christian theme park in Galilee. And the Israeli government said, no, we don't want to do business with you. So Pat Robertson, riding his own spirit in the sky, right? Yeah, well, he's laid to rest. You know where he'll go. But the rest, where it's very hot. 8:36, 24 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin here. John Nichols will join us shortly from The Nation magazine. We'll ask him his impressions about Alito. You know, it's very interesting. I really believe that unless the Democrats filibuster, I really believe unless they stand up and line up and stick together and maybe can get some libertarian-minded Republican senators to join them, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Alito is going to be confirmed. Also coming up after 9 o'clock, And, man, I'm going to have to get two segments from this guy, I think, because there's so much to cover. Paul Waldman, Media Matters for America. And we'll talk about the right-wing coverage, the right-wing media's coverage of the Alito hearings. And there are some people in there. I mean, you know, if you read enough of what goes on their website, I mean, you know, their website tracks the obvious fools, okay? Like Rush Limbaugh, like Bill O'Reilly, who made an incredible statement last night or the night before about the Dixie Chicks, claiming that they had never recovered from their Annie Bush comments in England that time, which O'Reilly claims that it wrecked their career and they've never recovered from it. Of course, that's unsubstantiated. But Media Matters covers that kind of stuff. But they also get into issues, and they also get into tracking the media's take on things. And you know what? There are people in there who you'll scratch your head and go, man, no way. Yeah. And what it does is it leads you not to trust anybody, because they catch everybody. That's incredible. While we're waiting for John Nichols, let's take a call from Barb in Longmont, who called Allard on Alito. Barb, you're on AM 760. Barb, what happened?
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Hey. I called Allard and Ken Salazar, and I emailed them as well. It's really easy. You just go Senate.gov, put in your state, and their contact information's right there.
Right.
I don't hold much hope for Allard, but I am praying that Ken Salazar stands up against this. He's got to know how wrong Alito is for this country.
Well, I would hope so.
Oh, the next 30 years he could be sitting on the bench, and this is just insane. There's no way that we can allow this to happen. So I'm urging all the listeners, call your senator, you know, do your civic duty.
And what kind of response did you get back from Allard, or did you get like a form email back?
You know, I just emailed him this morning, actually, at your urging, because I hadn't done that yet. I totally spaced on doing it a couple days ago when I thought about it. So I haven't gotten anything back. But I generally get, you know, just a form response via email from him, you know, thank you for your comment, da-da-da-da-da. I've not ever gotten anything from Ken Salazar, which is a little troubling, but when I called, you know, the staffer took my name and contact information and you know, said, well, I'll let the senator know. So, you know, but at least I'm doing something and I'm not just sitting and letting it pass.
I agree. I mean, yeah. I emailed both of them, and I'm going to email both of them again this afternoon.
I think, you know, on a daily basis.
We should just mm-hmm. keep flooding these emails in here and
exactly.
letting them know that this guy Alito is not acceptable for the Supreme Court of the United States.
Exactly. On a daily basis. And it takes, what, you know, 2 minutes
yeah,
to,
exactly.
to do it. So that's my plan for the rest of the time until we actually know if he's confirmed or not. But
good,
he's
good
a
for you.
Scary, scary, scary man.
Yeah, he is. Good for you, Barb. Good
Thanks.
For you.
Yeah.
All right.
And everyone else out there, get on the phones, too.
Yep, you got it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jay.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, let's take action. And let Allard know, and Salazar know, that this guy, Alito, is not acceptable to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, any guy who goes out of his way to praise Judge Bork, is disturbing in the least, if you ask me. And who doesn't believe that there's a constitutional right, that the Constitution does not protect abortion rights. And I'll tell you something. I said this on the show once before. I'll say it again. I may not be the sharpest tool in the box, but I'll guarantee you this much. There are a lot of Republican women out there, or a lot of women who are moderates and in the middle, who consider themselves to be pro-choice, who consider themselves to uphold a woman's right to choose, but they went to the ballot box and they voted for George W. Bush because they bought into the line that Bush gave about terrorism, about 9/11, about all of that stuff that's turned out to be crap. And what they're going to do is they're going to wake up one day and the right to choose is not going to be available for them. And the right to choose is not going to be available for their kids because Roe versus Wade will get overturned. And then I want to go to them and I want to say to them, Oh, you happy now? You happy now with a war that in the end is estimated to cost $2 to $3 trillion? Are you happy with the outcome in Iraq? Are you happy with the fact that there's no right to choose anymore? Because this is the kind of Supreme Court we ended up with. And Bush isn't done. He may have a chance to appoint somebody else before the 3 years are up. I mean, is this what you're happy with? Because this is what you got. Because they sat there during the presidential election and they manipulated the color codes up and down, up and down. And they lied. And they tried to confuse 9/11 with Iraq. And a lot of moderates. A lot of moderates bought it. Well, now it's time to take the grocery bags in. And I don't think they're going to like the condition of the fruit and the meat, I'll tell you right now. 42, 18 minutes away from 9 o'clock. John Nichols coming up here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Well, we're struggling this morning just about everywhere, so give yourself plenty of time. Now seeing some problems. Eastbound on the Turnpike, have a crash. It's off to the shoulder approaching Church Ranch, so expect some curiosity slowing. Westbound I-76, dealing with a new accident at Federal, and southbound I-25, running heavy from the north end into downtown, and have a crash just past Downey, adding to those jams through T-Rex, and seeing big delays. Eastbound I-270, jammed back onto the Turnpike as crews are working to clear the three-car crash right before York. Now around town, things busy still on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93, Arapahoe, Broadway, South Boulder Road, and Belmont are busy. And looking at the forecast, it's going to be a little cooler today. High is only in the 40s. We're at 43 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
The Al Franken Show.
There are a lot of dangerous jobs out there, and I've never had one of them.
Things you won't get anywhere else.
When I was at NBC at Saturday Night Live, the number one cause of injury at NBC were people falling out of their chairs.
And advice you can use.
If you're listening to the show and in your office, don't lean back too far.
Al Franken, 10 to 1.
Just be careful.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Thermal Advantage is looking to test 100 homes for energy efficiency. All your old windows will be taken out and new windows will be installed. They must test these windows in a real home environment to prove to the public that each and every homeowner will save 50% on their energy bill, or they will reimburse you the difference. For participating when the test is complete, you will be able to keep the windows. Call Thermal Advantage today, 303-487-6880. Operators available 24 hours a day. Call today.
Men, this message is brought to you by the Essential Group. Are you waking at all hours? It can be frustrating, especially if it happens frequently. This can be a sign of a condition called BPH or enlarged prostate. If you're experiencing this symptom, you're not alone. Many men experience this bothersome issue. BPH is a real medical diagnosis that can typically be treated. Currently, physicians are conducting a BPH research study specifically for men over 50, and you may qualify. Just call toll-free 1-866-77-STUDY for more information. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care, including doctor visits, laboratory services, and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you might be taking risks with your family's biggest investment.
Homeowners, rates won't stay this low forever. Call the mortgage store today. Don't miss out on taking advantage of historic low rates.
The economy continues to improve,
and the Federal Reserve has begun to raise interest rates.
But right now, you can still lock in a low fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
The mortgage store is a direct lender, so you're guaranteed the best pricing and the best service. Here's what our customers had to say.
It was just so easy. I've never had a refinance so easy.
We closed within days and saved over $350 a month.
We approve our own loans, so even if you've had some credit problems, you can still call us today and get a great fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
Don't procrastinate. Call the mortgage store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and be sure to ask about the 6 months with no payment option. Open evenings and weekends. Call now, 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
Have you ever noticed that musty smell when you turn on your furnace? Do you have family members who suffer from allergies or respiratory problems?
Are you concerned about your heating bill this winter? Then it's a must that you call Coit today and save 30% during their air duct cleaning sale. Dirty air ducts cause your furnace to work harder and raise your energy bill. But don't worry. Coit's the world's number one cleaning professional for carpets, upholstery, draperies, tile and grout, and air ducts. And right now, the man in the shiny black van will clean out the dust, dirt, pollen, and animal dander and give you 30% off. A clean air duct is an efficient air duct. And an efficient air duct will help you save on your heating bills. With energy bills expected to go up this year, it's a must that you call Coit today. Call 1-800-4-COIT. The man in the shiny black van will give you clean, energy-efficient air ducts guaranteed, and you'll save 30%. But Coit's 30% off air duct sale ends soon, so call 1-800-4-COIT today. That's 1-800-F-O-R-C-O-I-T. People you trust, trust Coit.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 847. Ooh, the Stones. Thank you. 847, 30 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, AM 760.
Hi today.
What is the hi today? I've only been saying it all morning. 47 under intermittent cloudiness. All right. We were supposed to have John Nichols on in the Nation, but now we find out that he's got some kind of family emergency. Trust me, he didn't blow us off. He loves the show. But he's got something going on. And I hope he's okay, and I hope his family's all right. And maybe we'll try to get him on tomorrow or next week or something, and our best wishes go out to him. But if you got a family emergency, there's nothing much you can do about it. And we hope his family is okay. We hope everything's all right. Hey, did you hear this story? And we'll get back on the Alito situation and also the media coming up after 9 o'clock with Paul Waldman for Media Matters for America. Speaking of the media, did you hear this story? Channel 13 in Houston pulls TV ad linking delay and lobbyist. A day before the television ad linking Representative Tom DeLay to disgraced former lobbyist Jack Abramoff was set to hit the airwaves in the Houston area, lawyers for his campaign told local stations Tuesday that the ad contained falsehoods and hinted that it could lead to court action. At least one station, KTRK, Channel 13, quickly decided against broadcasting the commercial, which was scheduled to start today. The ad is reckless, malicious, and false, casting Mr. DeLay in a false light by accusing him of unsubstantiated criminal conduct. This is according to DeLay campaign lawyer Don McGahn, who wrote this on Tuesday. We demand that you refuse or otherwise cease airing the advertisement to avoid any liability. The 30-second ad from two liberal-leaning interest groups, Campaign for America's Future and the Public Action Campaign, and we've had Campaign for America's Future on here before, lists money and travel that DeLay allegedly received from Abramoff. It also calls on the Sugar Land Republican to resign from Congress. I've seen the ad, by the way. And I don't think it contains any falsehoods at all. So this TV station backs down, which is a real shame. McGahn faxed a letter to Houston broadcast stations and cable channels from which the groups bought airtime. Channel 13 management said it had reviewed this ad. According to our usual procedure, we had decided not to accept the ad in its current form. In response, David Donnelly, National Campaign Director for the Public Campaign Action Fund, said Tom DeLay doesn't want people back home to know what he does in Washington. Boy, is that true? But I'll tell you something. DeLay may be in a bit of political trouble at the polls. There's an independent running in that race, in the primary there, I believe, who's a former Republican who has turned independent. So you got that going on, and there is a... I wish I could think of the guy's name. I think it's Nick Lampson is also running. He lost his seat during reapportionment, during gerrymandering, which DeLay was responsible for. And the smell of corruption and the tint, the stain, I guess is a better term, is all over DeLay. And as you know, he's through. He's through in his leadership post. Now it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Dennis Hastert and the rest of them. Because, according to media reports, Roy Blunt, and I believe the guy's name is John Bonner, who are competing for DeLay's job, also have ties to Abramoff and accepted the money from Abramoff. And I asked this question once before. And maybe we'll get into this after 9 a.m. If not after 9 o'clock, maybe we'll get into it tomorrow if we have time. Howard Dean and others in the Democratic Party, and I've gotten emails from you who have, you know, you said exactly the same thing. And I've heard Ed Schultz say the same thing, too. If elected officials received money from Abramoff clients, such as Indian tribes, good example is Harry Reid of Nevada, who says that Indian tribes have been involved in Nevada politics forever and a day, and that he took money from them, and he doesn't intend to give it back. Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader. If politicians take money from Abramoff clients, does that leave them stained? Does that leave them tainted? Is that the same thing as taking money from Abramoff directly? Because this is what the Republicans are going to charge. This is how they're going to try to spin this to make it that it's a bipartisan issue, when in reality, the money that Abramoff spread around, the majority of it went to Republicans, and that there is no, as far as I know on record anywhere, where Abramoff directly gave any Democratic representative, any Democratic senator, any congressman, directly any Abramoff money. I mean, he wasn't a bipartisan spender when it came to that aspect of it. So do you agree with the idea that if they got money from an Abramoff client, that's not the same as receiving money from Jack Abramoff directly, and that while we would agree, I think all of us would agree, that the K Street lobbying situation that goes on in Washington, D.C., and there are lobbyists there for every damn thing, that needs badly needs reform, although every time they try to reform it, it just looks like the lobbyists get around it somehow, and that the only thing that we, the American public, can do is make sure that we elect good, credible, honest people, if good, credible, honest people want to go into politics. But is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Is it the same tainted money? Or is this just a natural thing that goes on in the nation's capital, that elected representatives receive contributions and receive money, and lobbyists try to get them to see things their way? And is there a difference between that and spinning right around and taking money from Abramoff, which is what the Republicans are going to charge? I mean, that's going to be their defense, that this whole thing is bipartisan, that there are Democrats who took money from Abramoff clients, and that they're involved. And Howard Dean comes out yesterday and it says that that's not the case, that, yeah, they took money from clients, but that's not the same as taking money from Abramoff directly. So we're going to have to see how this shakes out with the American public. Now, opinion polls show, and I cited one of those opinion polls here a couple of weeks ago on this program, opinion polls show that the American people, by and large, that they mistrust both the Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Now, you got to bear in mind that I assume that if you're listening to this radio station, I assume that there's a good majority of you, including myself, that we are definitely partisan. But I definitely would trust a Democrat before I would trust somebody in the GOP. But that's not the large majority of people who are out there. And I'm also a lesser of two evils guy in the respect that I would vote for a Democrat before a Republican, no matter what the circumstances were. And I'll give you an example of this. This is something that we talked about, and that a lot of women sent me email and called me up, and they were furious. I was making the argument that, Bill Ritter, who's running for the governorship of the state of Colorado, is anti-choice. He's against abortion. Well, whoever ends up facing him on the Republican side, if it's Bob Beaupre, who would you vote for? I would vote for Ritter. Have no problem doing it. A lot of women sent me angry emails, and some of you who called me up and said, rather than vote for Ritter, that what you would do is you would stay home. And see, to me, that's just poison. I understand the strength of your convictions. You know, we all have certain things that we put at the top of our list that are things that we feel are the most important things going. You know, for me, it's civil liberties. That's one of my big things. For me, it's universal health care coverage. That's one of my big things. And for me, it's a just foreign policy. So I have a tendency to look to those candidates who support my point of view. But even if the Democrat who was running was not totally in sync with me versus a Republican, and I don't believe in sitting home and doing nothing, I'd have to vote for the Democrat. And I know I'll get a lot of email and criticism about that. I know there are a lot of you out there, and I get this way too. You're frustrated by the process. I mean, I was deeply disappointed when Howard Dean, because of that set-up job of the media with that scream, that it sunk his whole campaign. I gave him money. I voted for him in the Illinois primary, but by that time it was all over with. John Kerry was not my first choice. But there was no damn way I was going to sit home and not vote for him. Because I felt like, man, we got to do whatever we got to do to stop George W. Bush. And I gave money to Kerry's campaign. I'm still on Kerry's mailing list. Even though the next time around in 08, I can tell you right now up front that if Russell Feingold runs, I'm going to support him. All right, we're going to open phones coming up after 9 o'clock. But first, Paul Waldman with Media Matters for America. And I got a list of stuff on this Alito coverage to go over with him. Stick around. This is the best segment that we do all week here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I think Alito's going to be very careful.
Before we give you the keys to the car, we'd like to know where you plan to take us.
A judge can't think that way.
A number of very important issues.
For the real story and others, stay with AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming down to the stores and doing business with us. We've got 5 stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood. You name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices, we match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable. On top of that, folks, just playing right. 303-771-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
Jay Marvin, Al Frank, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk.
KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato live on Capitol Hill. Questioning is winding down here for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. Senate Judiciary Committee Democrats in this crowded hearing room are leading the Q&A, but without much of the edginess they showed yesterday. Without referring specifically to the Roe v. Wade ruling legalizing abortion, Alito says past high court decisions must be respected under the doctrine of stare decisis, but he added moments ago that doesn't mean they are completely off limits.
There has to be the ability to revisit a case. I don't think anybody would want a system of stare decisis that made that impossible.
Democrat Edward Kennedy isn't satisfied with the nominee, making this parting comment.
He may cite instances to think that he helped the little guy, but the record's clear that the average person has a hard time getting a fair shake in Judge Alito's courtroom.
Outside witnesses are coming later. This is Barry Bagnato live on Capitol Hill. Now here's Christopher Glenn.
Disaster at the Hajj, the annual Muslim pilgrimage that draws millions to Mecca each year. It's the last day of the observance, and during a symbolic stoning ritual, there was a stampede that left at least 345 people dead and about 1,000 injured. Mehdi Hassan, an employee of Britain's Sky News, is there for the Hajj personally.
Huge crowd, and you don't see enough policemen or enough members of the authorities perhaps providing guidance, providing routes. through the crowd.
There have been many similar Hajj tragedies in years past. In 1990, for example, a stampede in a tunnel leading to the holy place left more than 1,400 people dead. Cheers erupt as Mehmet Ali Agha, the man who shot and seriously wounded Pope John Paul II 25 years ago, is released from prison in Istanbul, Turkey. He may not be out forever, though. Turkey's justice minister says he'll ask an appeals court to review Agha's release, suggesting he could be returned to prison. He had served 20 years in Italy, where the late Pope forgave him 4 days after the attack. A missing Kentucky teenager has been located in Mexico. It's quite a story, as we hear from CBS's Adrian Bard in Mexico City.
Mexican authorities located a missing 14-year-old Kentucky boy along with his 26-year-old teacher. The two were apparently planning to get married south of the border. Math teacher Angela Comer and Justin Dale Carter were handed over to the FBI in Laredo, Texas, and are expected to be sent home to Tompkinsville, Kentucky. According to local media, the boy and teacher had been dating since last summer. The teen was reported missing by his grandmother, who is his custodian. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Bulgarian woman's facing charges for running amok on a United Express flight from Oregon to Denver. The flight was diverted to Salt Lake City after the woman reportedly tossed another passenger into the aisle, threw things at other passengers, and claimed there was a bomb on board. A search turned up no explosives. On Wall Street, the Dow down 30 points. This is CBS News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are, all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale is on now. Save up to 50% on select styles.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
It's been a rough ride this morning, and the Turnpike still seeing some trouble. Slow because of two accidents eastbound, one at Church Ranch, the other one at Federal, and in Commerce City, big delays. Eastbound I-270 because of the three-car crash near York, still in the clearing stages. I-25 running heavy in both directions through downtown and T-Rex and around town. Things actually looking pretty good on South Boulder Road, Belmont, and 28th. Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93. Starting to thin out just a little bit. And checking out the forecast, going to be a little cooler today. Highs in the 40s, already at 43 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Waterside Living is coming to Aurora next summer. A spectacular lake house, streams, trails, ponds, and yes, even stone skipping contest. Visit LivesSouthShore.com for more details. Don't miss out on Waterside Living in Aurora. Visit LivesSouthShore.com.
Randy Rhoads.
Yeah. The president can't stop lying. See, he's got a very dysfunctional relationship with the truth because he's got this personal compulsion to say whatever makes him look good at the moment because he can't stand being despised. His own parents have nothing good to say about him. So he'll stage a major photo op.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
When they haven't.
Randy Rhoads. Weekdays at 4 on AM 760. Nice. Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:05, 5 minutes after 9, AM 760, Progressive Talk. High today, 47, Jay Marvin along with you. We got intermittent clouds. All right, we usually do this on Tuesday, but I wasn't here on Tuesday. I was sick, so now we shoved it over to today, and I'm glad because this is my favorite part of the weekend. Let's talk to Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Paul, good morning, and welcome to AM 760.
Jay, you are too kind.
Oh, no problem. All right. I might have to have two segments out of here. We got enough stuff now. I mean, we'll be from here till next month. First of all, let me get two of them across that have nothing to do with Alito, but are worth mentioning. During an appearance on Hardball, Scarborough failed to disclose previous contributions from Abramoff and his firm. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, Joe Scarborough has, as most people know about him, was a Republican congressman before he became a talk show host. And it turns out that he was the recipient of some money from Jack Abramoff and his connected affiliated organizations, just like most Republicans in Congress were. But he didn't neglected to mention this on the air when he was talking about the Abramoff scandal. And, you know, one thing that you see the Republicans spinning fiercely about over this is the idea that it's not just us, that this is really bipartisan, that Abramoff gave to everybody, and that, you know, this really isn't a Republican scandal, it's just a congressional scandal. Well, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth. First of all, Jack Abramoff himself and his family never gave a penny to any Democrat. They only gave to Republicans. Now, he has some clients, for instance, some of these Indian tribes, who have given to Democrats in the past. But that's something very different. And after all, you know, we have a system where it's perfectly legal to give people some contributions. The question is, did they get anything in return? And that's where the illegality comes in. And the fact is that Jack Abramoff was really such a key part of the Republican establishment in Washington. I mean, this is a guy who is a lifelong Republican, was part of the College Republicans with Ralph Reed and Grover Norquist, who some people think is the most important Republican activist in Washington. His entire career as a lobbyist was built on his connections to Tom DeLay. You know, this is a Republican scandal through and through, because that's where he was able to exercise his influence, was because of his relationship with DeLay and with other Republican members of Congress, including Bob Ney of Ohio, who wasn't named specifically but was referred to in the documents around Abramoff's plea deal. And there are going to be – one of the interesting things that we'll see is, apart from Ney, it's a little unclear what members of Congress will actually be indicted. There's a possibility that DeLay might be indicted with regard to this. There may be others. But I think one of the things we're going to see is a whole host of Republican congressional staffers. Because, you know, people don't really think about it very much, but staffers wield a lot of the power on Capitol Hill, and lobbyists spend a lot of time not just whining and dining the members of Congress, but also the staff people. And a lot of those staff people then themselves become lobbyists. And this is this whole network that Abramoff is enmeshed in, and it's really a Republican network.
All right, here's one more that's not about Alito, and then we'll get to Alito. Limbaugh again falsely claimed the FISA court blocked the search of Massawi's computer.
Yes, well, you know, this is a story that Republicans like to use to talk about how we really need to give President Bush kind of unfettered powers. You may remember Zacharias Moussaoui, who some people refer to as the 20th hijacker. It's a little unclear exactly what his role was. Through the trial, he seemed like to be more of a buffoon than anything else, maybe sort of an Al-Qaeda wannabe. But in any case, there was some information on his computer that could have been useful in going to prevent the September 11th attacks. And the fact is, Rush Limbaugh said it was because the FISA court wouldn't let them look at his computer, and that's why the investigators didn't look at it. Well, that's just not true. The FISA court had nothing to do with this. It was because the Justice Department said that they weren't going to look at his computer. Now, the FISA court really has been a rubber stamp. I mean, they have approved almost every request that the various administrations since the 70s have made of them for these kind of secret warrants for wiretaps and things like that. There have been something on the order of 10 or 12,000 requests, and I think in that entire period since, I guess it was 1978, they've only rejected 4 or 5 of these requests. So you never get rejected. And this is really goes to the heart of the issue. They're trying to say, well, you know, the system is so cumbersome that the president just couldn't abide by the law that says you have to get warrants. He just had to break the law because it was so difficult. Well, you know, the FISA court is a rubber stamp, and not only is it not difficult, you can get a warrant from them sometimes within minutes, but you can even go after the fact. After you've decided you want to wiretap somebody, you have 3 days to go to the FISA court and say, by the way, we did this. Is it okay? And then they'll say yes. So this idea that, you know, the system is so cumbersome and that's why President Bush had to break the law is just ridiculous. So this Moussaoui example is one of these things that they're bringing up to try to justify the fact that the president broke the law. And, you know, one of the interesting things that we saw Dick Cheney say, again, is if we had this power before, then maybe we could have prevented September 11th. Well, you know, the fact is they were doing wiretaps before. They were doing them since. And we actually did intercept some conversations before September 11th. People might remember when this conversation about tomorrow is zero hour.
Right, yeah.
And the fact is, we got them. We intercepted them. There was no problem there. It was we didn't know about it because nobody got around to translating them out of Arabic until a couple of days after September 11th. So it's not as though we weren't doing wiretaps before. The issue isn't whether or not the NSA is going to wiretap people, because they have and they will continue to do so. The issue is whether it's up to George W. Bush to say, I don't like the law, so I'm not going to obey it because I'm not a president, I'm a king. And that's really the argument that they're making.
9-11, 11 minutes after 9, AM 760, Progressive Talk, Paul Waldman, Media Matters for America. All right, let's get into the Alito situation here. MSNBC's Alito hearing coverage skewed right well into the night. NBC's Today picked up the trend the next morning.
Yeah, well, this is something, you know, we've been monitoring the coverage of Alito just to sort of check who's been getting on, who, you know, what sort of balance they have. And, you know, it's not as though you absolutely have to have a Democrat for every Republican, or that, you know, there can't be even a small imbalance. But what we've seen again and again on network after network with this is that you end up seeing two, three, four Republicans for every Democrat. And this is what's happened on MSNBC. You've seen lots of interviews with former Bush administration, Reagan administration officials. Then they've been doing it not only on MSNBC, but on NBC, where, you know, they're interviewing people like Fred Thompson, the former senator, and Ted Olson, the former Solicitor General. And it seems to take a long time to get a Democrat in there to actually make some comments about the what's going on in the hearings. And I think that, you know, you're seeing a lot of ways in which the Republican perspective is really carrying the day. You know, the reporters will talk about the Democrats as saying, well, you know, they've already made up their minds, and when they talk to the senators, they'll ask them about why they've already made up their minds and how come they're not being open to voting for Alito. But nobody ever asks a Republican senator why he's already made up his mind and why he might not consider voting against Alito. And so, you know, there are little things like that run kind of course through the coverage that really sort of represent the Republican perspective on this. And, you know, the Democrats are trying to raise some legitimate questions. And, you know, you may find one line of criticism or questioning more convincing than another, or maybe you might not find any of them legitimate or persuasive. But the fact is that if this person is going to be on the Supreme Court for life, I think that it's important that he get asked questions. And, you know, that now, because his wife, when a Republican Senator Lindsey Graham started talking about bigotry yesterday, because she left the room in tears, somehow that means now that Democrats are being personal because a Republican is
right.
Questioning him, and that made her cry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, they haven't been personal. There are a lot of legitimate questions to be asked. And second of all, you know, frankly, if Mrs. Alito finds this unpleasant, which I'm sure, you know, it's no fun to sit there for hours and hours and hours, she doesn't have to stay. You know, this is something that's very important for the country. This person is going to be on the Supreme Court. He's replacing Sandra Day O'Connor, who's a swing vote. There are a lot of important issues that we need to explore about abortion, about executive power, about the critical issues that are going to confront the country for the next few decades that he's on the court. And the idea that, you know, the Democrats shouldn't question him closely and ask him about his views, and he can kind of do this sort of dance of the seven veils where, you know, I might be opposed to abortion, but I might not, and I might reconsider, and I'll have an open mind. And you know, that it's not something that's appropriate to ask him pointed questions about is kind of absurd.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the Wall Street Journal is the only publication I know of that has brought up the point that Lindsey Graham, and I've been screaming about this all morning, that he helped prep Alito at the moot court sessions at the White House. So therefore, if that's the case, wouldn't there be a conflict of interest that he's sitting on the Senate Judiciary Committee and claiming that he, you know, has an open mind about this?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, all the Republican senators are asking sort of absurd questions. I mean, they've all are obviously decided that they're going to vote for him. The only person in the Senate, the only Republican in the Senate who's made any kind of indication that he might possibly vote against him is Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island, who's a moderate Republican senator. But, you know, they're up there throwing him the softest of softballs. You know, are you in fact a fantastically wise and prudent jurist? And you know,
yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting today. A lot of the Republicans have just said, well, you know, we don't need to ask him any more questions. They're not even going to bother anymore. They sort of see it as a foregone conclusion. But you know, regardless of whether or not he ends up getting confirmed, the point of these hearings is to let the American people, not just the senators, who have access to a lot of information and are going to spend a lot of time thinking about it, but let the American people listen to a discussion about what his views are, what kind of a Supreme Court justice he's going to be. Because, you know, the Supreme Court has an extraordinary influence over all of our lives. And it's not just on big issues like abortion that everyone sort of knows where they stand. It's in a whole range of things that they determine the legal and social and political life of our country in so many ways. And when we put somebody on the court for life, particularly when they're replacing a swing justice like O'Connor, we need to have that discussion. And it's not just about, you know, whether there are going to be the votes on the committee or whether how the vote is going to turn out in the full Senate. It's really about the future of the Supreme Court, and that's a discussion we really should be having.
Yeah, I agree. All right, here's one. Wolf Blitzer again accuses Democrats, but not Republicans, of reaching an early verdict on the Alito nomination.
Well, exactly. And I think that this is, you know, as I mentioned, there's this presumption that somehow it's illegitimate for Democrats to have decided already that they might vote against him. Whereas it's not illegitimate for Republicans to have decided already that they're going to go vote for him. And you can see that in the kinds of questions that he asks. And he, as he's questioning senators, has been using that presumption as a way of starting to question them, that when he talks to a Democratic senator, he says, you know, why have you already made up your mind? But he doesn't even bother to ask that of Republicans. The assumption is that the fact that they've already made up their minds is something that is really no problem. But it may be problematic if a Democrat has made up his mind.
Yeah, that's CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on, and we'll come back here. Okay, I didn't lose him. I punched the right button. We'll continue with Paul Waldman, Media Matters for America. 9:17, 17 minutes after 9, AM 760, Progressive.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Still seeing a pretty busy ride on the highways. I-25 loaded up in both directions through downtown and T-Rex and Commerce City. Still seeing big delays because of this three-car crash near York. That's eastbound on I-270 and 225. A little heavy as you head southbound toward the Tech Center. Now around town, things actually looking pretty good on South Boulder Road, Belmont and 28th. The Arapahoe, Broadway and Bayside moved along fine. Foothills Parkway, the diagonal on Highway 93 all starting to thin out. On the turnpike, though, still seeing some trouble. Two accidents, both in the clearing stages eastbound, one at Church Ranch, the other one approaching Federal. Under the forecast, it's going to be a little cooler today. Highs in the 40s, not much warmer than we are now at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Applejack Wine and Spirits is offering prices for 2006 on wine, spirits, and beers that will blow you away. Pick up your favorites for watching the football playoffs and cheering Denver on. At Applejack, you will always find more items specially priced than anywhere else. No wonder Applejack is number one.
The company corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
9:19, 19 minutes after 9, AM 760. Progressive Talk. And if you were the charity, if you're the head of a charity or you're with a charity or a youth group and you want to go see the National Western Stock Show, this is the 100th. National Western Stock Show, then you know what? Call Rocky's Autos, because Rocky's Autos has got free tickets for your charity or youth group. Call Sergio at 303-426-4646. That's 303-426-4646. These tickets are absolutely free to charities and youth groups, and all you got to do is pick up the phone and call Rocky's. They've got tickets available to the Draft Horse Show Friday, January the 20th at 7 in the evening. Saturday, January the 21st, 1 in the afternoon and 7 p.m. in the evening. Sunday, January the 22nd at 12 noon, and the tickets include general admission. So once again, if you're the head of a charity or you're with a charity or a youth group and you want to go see the Western Stock Show and you want to go for free, Rocky's has the tickets and they'll donate them, no strings attached, simply by you picking up the phone and calling 303-426-4646 and ask for Sergio. That's 303-426-4646, and the tickets include general admission. Did I tell you that already? Okay, I wanted to make sure I got that in. Rocky's Autos, the home of the cleanest late model used cars, good people to deal with, and people who genuinely care about the community. So once again, if you're with a charity or a youth group, and you want to go see the stock show for free, call Rocky's Autos now. Ask for Sergio, 303-426-4646. Rocky's Autos, 63rd and Federal.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. It's so easy.
this software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
How would you like to work less, spend more time with your family, and make more money than you ever dreamed of? Now you can. Tori says,
my income goes up every day. My check goes up every month. I now make six figures in my pajamas. It's just amazing. I can walk into a store and buy something without looking at the price tag. It is just a totally different lifestyle.
Go to homebiz2006.com and order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package, shipping not included. Log on to homebiz2006.com. homebiz2006.com.
Bacon, Eggs, and J. Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Progressive Talk.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, high today 47, AM 760, Progressive Talk, J. Marvin. And we're talking about the media, the right-wing media, and its coverage of the Alito hearings. And on the line with me, Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. You know, Paul, I guess the mainstream media would not call themselves right-wing, but they certainly act like it, don't they?
Well, at times. And, you know, one of the things I should note about what Media Matters does, and I think that it has to do with the way that progressives in general look at the media, we don't allege that there's some sort of grand conspiracy of conservative bias. We don't say that reporters are secretly trying to get their own opinions into the news. But one of the things that you see is that the right has been very effective in getting their own talking points and their kind of perspectives to get to be adopted by the media. They have a lot of techniques that they use to do this. They put relentless pressure on the media by accusing them of being biased all the time, and they're very good at disseminating and repeating their talking points. And what you see is that a lot of the time, those talking points end up kind of being woven into the fabric of the media's discourse. And that's what we at Media Matters try to identify and correct. But it's not because there's a sinister conspiracy. It's oftentimes because reporters are not even thinking about the way that they construct their articles and the way that these kind of perspectives find their way in. A lot of times it's because they're lazy. A lot of times it's because they don't want to offend the people who have power. There are a lot of different reasons why at different times and in different outlets the media are not what they should be. It's not because there's a sinister conspiracy. It's because for one reason or another they're not doing their jobs. And that's what we at Media Matters try to encourage them to do.
Boy, and if you're not careful and you're exposed to the media and there's, you don't know that they're doing it, you yourself find yourself picking that stuff up, and then you repeat it. And so it just kind of makes for this vicious round-robin type of situation, and that's why Media Matters for America is so great. All right, I got one here. Jeff Greenfield repeated Gillespie's false claim that Roberts didn't refer to Roe as settled law in his Supreme Court hearing.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that happens when you have a side, or sometimes it's both sides, that are relentlessly repeating their talking points. Oftentimes those talking points just end up getting repeated by people who are not paying close enough attention. And this was a case in which Jeff Greenfield, who is a very respected analyst for CNN, repeated this claim that John Roberts didn't really say that Roe v. Wade is settled law, which in fact he did say. And Ed Gillespie is the former chairman of the Republican Party and one of the most relentless spinners that one can find on the national scene. And so, you know, this is the way that these kind of talking points can get spun in. And obviously, this is a really important issue because and this is what I find one of the most interesting facets of this, is that for years, decades, Republicans have been arguing that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And they've been trying to get a justice, enough justices, who will decide to overturn Roe v. Wade. They haven't had that. And this is one of their greatest opportunities because Sandra Day O'Connor was a supporter of Roe v. Wade. And here they have the opportunity to put in a conservative who will vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that'll get them one vote closer to finally getting it overturned. So what happens? They finally get this nominee in Sam Alito, who by all indications, I don't think any serious person believes that he's not going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, but they do this very kind of, this strange sort of kabuki dance where they say, oh, well, you know, he's not saying that he will, and he might have, you know, Alito himself says he has an open mind, and his supporters are saying, well, he's never said that he's going to overturn it, and who knows what he'll do, when, of course, that's what they want, and that's what the liberals fear, but we're all kind of pretending that that's not going to happen. And it's one of the things that I find very strange, but it's actually something you see a lot with those parts of the Republican agenda that are not very popular. You know, with Social Security, Bush had this plan to begin the privatization of Social Security, and Republicans who have been campaigning for privatization of Social Security since the 1960s are all saying, no, 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 it's not really privatization. That's not what he's trying to do. And here with abortion, they're saying, no, no, this, you know, Assembly Leader doesn't really want to overturn Roe v. Wade. They don't seem to have the courage of their own beliefs that are quite clear. And I think they're hoping that the American people won't really notice, and they might be right.
Well, they mask it. I mean, like, instead of talking about, over our privatization of Social Security, now it's like an ownership society issue. Didn't work, though, did it?
No, it absolutely did not. You know, there are some issues that people don't know a lot about and haven't spent a lot of time thinking about. But one of the interesting things about that Social Security debate was that the more President Bush talked about it, the less popular his plan became. Because what they were trying to do, and this is something you can see on a whole range of issues, actually, is they were trying to basically take the security out of Social Security. And now, just today, I saw a story that said that in his State of the Union address, Bush is going to unveil a new campaign on health care. And I can bet you that it's going to be the same sort of thing. He's going to try to take the security out of health care, and it's going to be couched in those same terms, that ownership society. You're going to own your health care. Well, you know, I think that most Americans, they don't really care about owning their health insurance. They want their health insurance to be secure. They want to know that when they get hurt or they get sick, they have to go to the hospital, that is going to be there. It's not about whether you own your health insurance and whether there's some kind of health insurance account that you can see how big it is. It's about whether it's secure. And that's, I think, one of the fundamental differences between the parties on this, is that if Republicans are more interested in ownership, Democrats are more interested in security. And if the Social Security debate is any indication, they'll probably win that one, too.
All right, I've got time for one more here. Russert revived false claim about Ginsburg and Breyer to reiterate argument for Democrats' approval of Alito.
Well, you know, this is the idea that everybody went along, that all the Republicans went along with voting for Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer, who were President Clinton's nominees to the Supreme Court, even though they had these kinds of disagreements with them over issues. And this is something that Tim Russert has repeated, that other media figures have repeated, and the point here really isn't about whether there's some kind of a disagreement on issues. And I think you saw this with John Roberts. You know, a number of Democrats voted for John Roberts, even though they disagreed with him on issues. Democrats have voted for Republican nominees in the past. Republicans have voted for Democratic nominees in the past, despite some disagreement on issues. But the problem that people have with Alito is really twofold. First of all, that he's just not saying where he stands on these things. He's doing this kind of dance. And that, a lot of senators are saying, you know, it's one thing for you to be clear about what you believe, and if I disagree with you, perhaps I can accept you anyway, and that's happened in the past. And that was the case with Ginsburg and Breyer. They were fairly open about what they believed. There was no doubt that they would vote to uphold Roe v. Wade, for instance. They were completely forthcoming about that. Nobody believed otherwise. But that's one question. And the other question is, you know, even if there are some differences on issues, does this nominee represent an ideology that is just so radical that Democrats will say, you know what, I can have some disagreements with the nominee, but there's a point that I won't go beyond, and maybe Alito represents that point. And I think you can very easily make a case that he does, particularly with regard, not just with regard to Roe v. Wade, but with regard to executive power. You know, we're seeing right now, and I think that, unfortunately, this issue has been muddled for a lot of people, but the kinds of powers that the Bush administration is trying to seize are really breathtaking. I mean, they have literally argued that if President Bush doesn't like the law, he can just override it. That if he thinks that we need to torture, it's within his powers as Commander-in-Chief to order torture. If he thinks that he doesn't like the law that says that you have to get warrants to spy on people and listen to their phone calls, he'll just go above the law because he's the president. You know, that was the argument that Richard Nixon made,
and everybody
rejected it. You know, he famously said that if the president does it, it's not illegal. Well, obviously that wasn't true, but that's the argument that the Bush administration is now making. And I think that one of the reasons that one of the things that Sam Alito and Harriet Myers, for instance, have in common is that they share that belief. And you can bet that there are a few things more important to this administration than the maintenance of their power. They would not have nominated him if he did not share that belief in what some people call the unitary executive, which basically means that the president could do whatever he wants. And so I think it's not about whether, you know, a senator disagrees with him on abortion or some other issue, but if he actually believes that the president can do whatever he wants, that is a belief that is so radical. and so opposed to the fundamental American values of democracy and separation of powers and the fact that the idea that no person, not even the president, is above the law, I think it's perfectly within senators' rights to say, you know what, this is just going too far.
Yeah, you know what? I agree 100%. Plug your website where people can go get more information.
Our website is mediamatters.org, and there's lots of things there about the Alito hearings and about the Abramoff scandal, about all sorts of things, whatever's going on in the news today.
And also about Bill O'Reilly and his UNICEF comment.
Absolutely. He said that if Stalin were alive, he'd be the UNICEF spokesman. And Media Matters is proud to say that we are slowly but surely driving Bill O'Reilly insane.
What is wrong with him? I mean, I'm almost out of timer. What is wrong with this guy?
I think, you know, Bill O'Reilly is a bully. And like all bullies, deep down, he's a coward. And he doesn't like being criticized. And we find on his show every single day something that is either an outrageous statement that we want to call attention to or a distortion or an outright lie. And he doesn't like being called on that stuff. And so he's going a little nuts.
Yeah, he certainly is losing it, it seems like. Hey, Paul, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate you being on here.
It's my pleasure, Jay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. There's Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. All right, 9:32, 28 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. Open phones now. Anything you want to talk about, from Alito to O'Reilly to whatever may be on your mind, 303-713-7600. I have three open lines, 303-713-7600. Thank you for joining us this morning. Jay Marvin here on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Been a rough ride this morning, but things actually starting to look pretty good. The turnpike back up to speeds in both directions to Broomfield and Westminster. In Commerce City, still seeing big delays from the turnpike eastbound on I-270. That's because of a three-car crash near York. And I-25 running heavy in both directions through downtown and T-Rex, but things starting to lighten up there. Now around town, looking good on South Boulder Road, Belmont 28th, Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, and Highway 93, all starting to thin out. Under the forecast, going to be a little cooler today. Highs only in the 40s. We're already at 43 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760, Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
Admit it. Right after Christmas, sometimes there's a little bit of a letdown. Maybe you just want the holidays to keep going, or maybe you didn't get quite what you were hoping for. Well, at Gander Mountain, we've got the cure for any case of post-holiday blues. It's the winter clearance, with savings of up to 50% off Gander Mountain's everyday low prices. Get 30 to 50% off men's and women's sportswear and outerwear. 25 to 50% off camo and blaze outerwear and accessories. Plus, during the Gander Mountain winter clearance, you can get an additional 10% off all clearance firearms. You can even get 40% off all in-stock tree stands. So hurry into Gander Mountain and get those things you didn't find under your tree. Or just get yourself a big head start on spring. But while winter clearance at Gander Mountain will be going on through the end of January, you need to hurry in now for the best selection. Hey, there's no letdown here. Just lower prices. Gander Mountain. We live outdoors.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you might be taking risks with your family's biggest investment.
Homeowners, rates won't stay this low forever. Call the mortgage store today. Don't miss out on taking advantage of historic low rates.
The economy continues to improve.
And the Federal Reserve has begun to raise interest rates.
But right now, you can still lock in a low fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
The mortgage store is a direct lender, so you're guaranteed the best pricing and the best service. Here's what our customers had to say.
It was just so easy. I've never had a refinance so easy.
We close within
days and saved over $350 a month.
We approve our own loans, so even if you've had some credit problems, you can still call us today and get a great fixed-rate mortgage in the fives.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and be sure to ask about the 6 months with no payment option. Open evenings and weekends. Call now. 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Ooh, one of my favorite Neil Young tunes. 9:36. 36 minutes past the hour, AM 760, Progressive Talk. All right, it's open phones. Oh, by the way, the high today, 47, intermittent clouds. What is it, 9:36? 24 minutes before 10? Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Eddie, who's hanging on in Littleton. Eddie, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I enjoy your show. I feel like you're one of the more balanced lefties as far as talk radio is concerned, and I really do enjoy your show.
Well, thanks.
What I don't understand is, and maybe you can explain it to me, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I don't think there's any doubt that you would consider her a liberal, was nevertheless confirmed almost unanimously by the Senate. The Republicans view that as, you know, that goes with who wins the presidency. As long as she's well qualified, she gets in. Now, why doesn't the same standard apply to a conservative?
Well, I think there are many Democrats who have voted for conservative Supreme Court nominees over the years, and there were a lot of conservative, there were a lot of liberal Democrats who voted for John Roberts. There are some who didn't vote for John Roberts. As far as Judge Alito goes, I think one of the things that bothers most people is the fact that he has a problem, and his problem is, well, he's got a twofold problem. One problem is credibility. The other problem is he doesn't seem to want to open up and say what he really believes and tell how he really feels, and in some cases be candid enough to tell the truth. And I can give you good examples of where he hasn't done this, and we can start with the...
Okay, let's say he did open up. Do you think that would change one... Right now, what would you predict the number of Democrats who are going to vote against him?
I don't know. I can't predict
I have no idea. I'm going to guess 35. And I think if he came out and gave you every answer you're looking for, it would be 35 plus.
You know what? I don't think so. You know what? I don't think so at all, because I think that he's got some big questions that he needed to answer and won't answer, and I think that he's got some things going on here. Let me finish. That the American public deserves, not only do the senators deserve to have this, but the American public deserves to know what exactly was going on with him and what are his core beliefs and what does he really think. And turning around and saying, well, you know, I joined the concerned alumni of Princeton and I put it on a job application in 1985, and then turning around and saying, well, you know what, I don't remember it. I don't have any idea what it was about. Then turning around saying, well, you know, I did because I believe that the ROTC should be put back on campus. And then to turn around and say, for instance, to make a promise in a confirmation hearing that you would recuse yourself of any cases having anything to do with personal financial matters or anything that you might have a conflict of interest in. And then in Vanguard, with the Vanguard Investments, then he turns around and he votes on it. So in other words, he sat and said one thing, then turned around and did another. I think that causes a problem, don't you?
Well, I don't think the Vanguard thing was a significant issue.
Hold a second. How can you say it's not a significant issue if the man sat there at a hearing, okay, for the circuit court judgeship, and promised at the time that he wasn't going to vote on those kind of issues, that he would recuse himself from those issues, that he made a promise, and then he turned around and he didn't keep it. You know, you find that to be an acceptable standard?
Again, I'm no legal scholar.
It's got to do with legal.
There have been a lot of legal scholars who have weighed in and said there's nothing wrong with what he said.
In all due respect, and you know what, I ask you to cite those scholars, but in all due respect, take the judicial part of it out. If I give you my word on something, and then I go back on my word, how do you see me as an individual?
Answer
the question. How do you see me as an individual if I go back on my word, if I tell you something, and then I don't fulfill it? How do you see me? And plus, I do it under oath. How do you see me? Well, how do you see me in that situation?
I have a problem if people do not follow through with what they say.
Well, didn't he do that?
We're talking about 15 years of judicial.
It doesn't make any difference.
And a very minor holding.
It's not minor. It's not minor. It's not minor. It's a conflict of interest. It's not minor. It involves people's lives, and it is not minor. It's a conflict of interest. You know, you're asking me about qualifications. You're asking me these questions, and I'm telling you what the answers are. I'm telling you that people have, and I'm one of them, have trouble with that. That people have trouble with the idea that you join an organization and then you turn around and you don't remember anything about it. Have you ever joined an organization and then can't remember anything?
Jay, would you agree that Ruth Bader Ginsburg did the same dance as far as not answering questions? And
no.
I'll tell you something else.
Let me tell you something else I don't accept. And this is a common practice that goes on. And it goes on not only from people on television, but you're doing it. We're talking about a direct line of something. We're talking about somebody who's a part of an organization and then claims he doesn't remember it. Now, instead of you confronting that, you want to jump off to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Excuse me, I'm not done. You want to jump off to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and start about that. Let's stay where we are and let's talk about what we're talking about and don't sit there and try to change the subject.
Hey, that's what my original comment was, and that's why I called in. So don't say that I'm changing the subject. I was the one that called in and said, what's the difference between Bader Ginsburg evading and dancing and what's going on now?
I'm asking you about a specific incident,
what you're doing is
you're turning around, which talking heads do it on TV, callers do it, congressmen and senators do it. You're going to go off in some other direction. I want a direct answer from you. And I'm passionate about this.
Right.
I want a direct answer from you about how it is that somebody can join an organization, put that organization on their job application, then when they're asked about that organization, in a hearing, say, well, you know what, I don't remember why I joined, I don't know anything about that organization.
I would say the same thing. 20 years ago?
1985, add it up.
In 1985, 20 years ago, the guy joined an organization and it's a conservative organization.
It's more than conservative. It's radically conservative.
Well, that's your definition.
Oh, really? You think that eliminating minority on a college campus, you think about having separate eating facilities, conservative? Conservative, pal. You better find out what this organization's about.
Would you say that they were against that or against racial quotas?
They were against that. They were against minorities. They were against including women in Princeton. They were against having integrated eating facilities. You consider that to be mainstream conservatism?
I do not consider that.
Well, then why don't you say it for if you don't mean it?
I thought it was racial quotas, but if they were against
minorities
on campus, that's absurd.
Well, that's what it's about.
And to make him out to be that kind of a person.
Nobody's saying that.
Calm down.
No. Hey, you're not Lindsey Graham.
I do not.
And I'll tell you something. Nobody's saying that. What I'm questioning is the fact is, you know what? This is so frustrating. I'm questioning the fact of you join an organization. You not only join the organization, but you put it on a job application and you brag about it. Then when you're asked about it, you go, oh, I don't remember anything about it. If that was a Democratic nominee, and that Democratic nominee had joined the SDS, the Black Panthers, the Communist Party, the Socialist Workers Party, anarchists, whatever organization, you're going to sit there and tell me with a straight face that Lindsey Graham, okay, that John Cornyn, that those people would sit back and go, well, you know what, so you don't remember anything about joining those organizations, go hell on to the Supreme Court. You know what? They would have a hernia.
That's a perfect example of getting back to Ginsburg, who was a member of the ACLU.
We're not talking about the ACLU. The ACLU is not a racist organization. The ACLU is not an exclusive organization. Don't try to switch to the ACLU.
The ACLU is as radical as
you know what? I respect your call, but that's it. Thank you. You know what? The ACLU is not as radical as the concerned alumni for Princeton. And don't call up here and try that whole thing about jumping to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, you know what? Confront the topic as it is. 944, 16 before 10.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Drive around Denver's in pretty good shape. You still might find a little slowing, though. Southbound I-25 approaching the tech center. Had that car fire there to Orchard. It's been put out. It's on the right side of the road, but still some leftover slowing there. Otherwise, the rest of I-25 between downtown and the tech center, slowly getting back up to speed. Looks good on I-70 on both sides of the city. And if you're heading to Boulder, got pretty good speeds on the Boulder Turnpike in both directions. And in Boulder, no major difficulties for you right now. As far as the weather goes, partly sunny, windy and cooler today with highs in the mid-40s. Clear and breezy tonight, low 29. Sunny and 55 tomorrow, 63 for Saturday. Right now it's 39 degrees. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
In 2004, Steve Russo was diagnosed with lung cancer. While planning his treatment, doctors also found 7 tiny brain tumors and one that was very large.
That's right. They determined that it was 9 centimeters. That's about 3.5 inches on my brain.
For his other tumors, Steve had radiation and chemotherapy, which were successful. But for the large brain tumor, Steve came to Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're improving lives with effective, painless, non-surgical tumor treatments.
Treatment with CyberKnife was no more difficult than going to the dentist. And afterward, the tumor was gone, completely. There wasn't even any scarring. It was just gone. To be here a year later, after initially being given a 5% chance of survival, I feel very lucky.
At Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Folks, when you think tires, think Aspen Goodyear. 303-771-9800. Full service facilities. We run the Automotive Troubleshooter Show for Tom Martino. 303-771-9800. My name's Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
It doesn't take a genius to figure out that right now is the time to replace your windows with the Regency Bristol Window. The news says to expect up to a 70% increase in energy costs. This is Dave Logan. I'm especially glad now that I have the Regency Bristol Window in my home. Right now, you can win a house full of Regency Bristol Windows absolutely free. Just log on to bristolwindows.com or call 303-233-0833.
Find out how affordable quality can be.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
Local and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Ooh, Led Zeppelin, you got it. 9:47, 13 minutes in front of 10. High at 47 today. Intermittent clouds. AM 760. Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin here. By the way, Eddie, if you're still listening and you want to try that old right-wing smear about the ACLU, then you know what? You got to call me back at 303-713-7600. And you got to explain to me why Bob Barr, who is a conservative, was a former congressman and a conservative from Georgia, who shepherded the and worked on the Clinton impeachment in the House, why is he connected to and is a member of the ACLU? Oops. And a bit of disclosure, I am too. All right, let's get back to the phones. We go to CJ in Broomfield. CJ, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you.
I would like, I'm not certain if your earlier caller gave Ken Salazar's phone number.
No,
I would
no.
Like to give that to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
His phone number in Washington is area code 202-224-5852. I'm asking your callers to call and tell him to vote against this man. If anyone cannot make a long-distance call, the local number is 303-455-7600. I have called both numbers and issued my wish for him to vote against this man and to filibuster.
All right, give those numbers again.
Washington phone number, 202-224-5852.
And the local number?
Local number, 303-455-7600. And each time I call, I registered my complaint, and they accepted it.
Okay, CJ, thank you. Appreciate the call.
Keep up the good work, Jay.
I'm trying.
And take care of yourself.
Okay, doing the best I can.
I know. Thank
All
you,
right.
dear.
Okay. You know, times I get close to popping a pyloric valve. Let's go to Pier in Hartsel. Pier, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi, Pierre. How are you?
Well, for Eddie's enlightenment, Ruth
Bader Ginsburg was recommended by Orrin Hatch to Clinton. Clinton didn't even know who she was. And so they had already, the Republicans had already decided they were going to accept her. So, you know, it's not like the Democrats have gotten to give Bush anyone that they want and he's before them. No, this was, they had picked him, her out. So, you know, that's crap. You know, if he's such a legal scholar, why doesn't he know all this?
Well, stuff, you know what? I'd forgotten about it, too. So you got me on that. I'd forgotten that Orrin had recommended her. I'd forgotten about that. But you're right. He did.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, Alito, I'm sorry, but, you know, after Enron and the, what was it, Anderson, the accounting firm, and all the, you know, they found all the little loopholes for those guys. Well, this is what Alito is like to me. When you listen to his answers, when he just won't answer things straight, and he'll go beat around the bush for everything. And it scares the crap out of me to think that, you know, they're going to let this guy, Bush, become a king with these kinds of judges on the court. And I just don't understand. I mean, he's already broken the law, the FISA law. What, how much more leeway can you get than being told that, oh, you don't even have to have a warrant until days after the fact? And yet he still has broken the law. Now, how do the gun owners feel about this? You know, they don't want anyone interfering with getting into their records. Yet, you know, it's okay for the average person to have these guys spying on them all the time. So you know what, gun owners? You know, first they came for us, then who do you think they're going to be picking on? You know, so, I mean, I am just so sick of this crap that people are accepting it, you know. Yet, the NRA, boy, you sure can't mess with them. You can't get into our file.
Well, you know something, though? I don't know that the NRA is happy with this. I don't know that we haven't asked them. I mean, they haven't made a statement about it. I don't know that they're happy with it. And I think there are a lot of civil libertarians, and I think there's a lot of conservatives who have a civil libertarian streak who are nervous about a government intrusion who don't like the idea of it. I'm not so sure you can say that about the NRA because they haven't really taken a position.
Yeah, maybe not. But on the other hand, why aren't they calling their senators? You know, because I would have thought for libertarians in general, you know, I understand the Christian conservatives. They, you know, they want this guy more than anything. But I don't understand the libertarians at all. I mean, how can they possibly, you know, I always thought that was one of their biggest things was their right to privacy.
Well, I think they are uncomfortable with it.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, how come we're not hearing about them all writing to their senators and stuff, you know?
Well, because I don't think that a significant amount of libertarians probably listen to this radio show, but I'm sure that there's a lot of them out there who are weary and leery of government intrusion, and they're worried about the idea that a Supreme Court nominee is going to become a justice who believes that the president or that the executive branch has unbridled powers. I think they're worried about that kind of stuff. We just don't travel, you know, you and I don't travel in libertarian circles, so we don't hear from them. But if there's a libertarian out there who listens and wants to call up and correct us and say the libertarians would endorse the idea of this kind of philosophy, of that whole, you know, unbridled power type situation, then let them call up and I'll certainly put them on.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, Jay, that's all I had to say.
You got it, Pierre.
Good work.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to David in Greeley. David, hi, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Jay. Two things. I'll just quickly say Wayne Allard is the guy that needs to get the phone calls. He's the one that's already come out in support of Alito. But my call is really about Bill Ritter. I followed Bill Ritter's career as the district attorney for the city of Denver from its beginning. And I find that he failed to bring to the grand jury many police shootings of Denver citizens over the years. I think it really ought to be investigated, and that record should become a part of your discussion of whether he's suitable as a candidate for dog catcher.
Well, I think that record's open and that anybody can investigate it, but it gets on to another matter. If nobody challenges him in a primary, and if he's the nominee, and you're given a choice between voting for a Democrat and voting for a Republican, and voting for Bob Beaupre, who are you going to choose?
Well, those aren't the only two choices that are going to be available.
Who else is out there? Enlighten me.
I'll pick none of the above before I'll pick Bill Ritter.
Well, what good does that do?
Well, it's my vote.
Yeah, but what good does that do as a whole? And if you say there are other people out there, who else is out there?
Well, I don't know, Jay. You willing to settle for whatever they throw at you?
No, I'm not willing to settle for whatever they throw at me, and I don't like it at times, but I feel like the state is in better hands with a democratically controlled legislature. I feel like the state is in better hands with a Democratic governor, even though at times, you know, candidates run and candidates are involved that I don't particularly care for or that I don't think measure up to what I want. But I realized a long time ago that one of the things that this system is based on is based on compromise, and you can't always get directly what you want. I mean, a good example of this would be that I didn't support John Kerry. I didn't vote for John Kerry in the primary. I don't think John Kerry was a candidate that best represented my viewpoint. I wanted Howard Dean. Howard Dean didn't win. So, you know what? The choice between Bush and Kerry, I'm going to vote for Kerry because I know George W. Bush would damage the country, and he is damaging the country.
My position on Bill Ritter is perhaps similar to yours. There's somebody else out there that's better than him, and that if you want my Democratic vote for the governor of the state of Colorado, you better find him before you put Ritter on the block.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do though if nobody comes forward?
Like I said, it'll be none of the above, or I'll write in.
Well, then you know what? You got to sit it out. It's not something I would choose to do, but you have a right to do it. Thanks, David.
Are you already ordained?
Well, there's nobody. You know what? There's no, who's running against him, David? Andrew Romanoff says he's not going to do it. So who's running against him?
I don't know, but we better find
somebody.
Well, you
don't know. Well, there isn't. You know, now I'm starting to get angry here. There is nobody at this current time out there who is running against him. So if he wins the primary because he has no opposition, then you're in the exact position I'm talking about. You have a choice between a Republican and a Democrat. So you know what you end up doing? In my opinion, you know what? You end up voting for the Democrat. But for you to say to me that, well, there's got to be, you know, there we don't know who's out there. Yeah, we do, because all you got to do is pick up the Denver Post. All you got to do is pick up the Rocky Mountain News. All you got to do is watch the local TV. All you got to do is listen to us. All you got to do is wherever you choose to get your local news from or your statewide news, and you'll see that there's nobody at this particular time who is declared in the Democratic primary to run against Bill Ritter. And if you have a name of somebody who's willing to run against him, then you know what? Please give it to us now.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just a shame that he's the only one that they can find because his record doesn't substantiate
his value. Maybe it isn't the case that he's the only one they can find. Maybe it's the case is that he's the only one who wants to run. So you get down to the lesser of two evils. It's not a comfortable position to be in, but unfortunately, it's the way the system works a lot of the time, and you have to just roll with the flow. David, thanks, man. Have a good day. Appreciate your call.
You too, Jay.
All right. That's it for this morning. Back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. here on AM 760 Boulder's, Boulder's Progressive Talk. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the calls.
The GEO. Tonight, NBC Comedy.